much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. We gotta get better, man. We came out the last couple days and did good. This was bull. Let's turn it around. We gotta have a great day today, man.
Let's go.
Get better. 1, 2, 3. Get better.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do?
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
And now.
And incidentally, have you noticed what's happened to daytime television?
No.
It's all about the women. There's Kelly, there's Rachel, there's The View, there's The Talk, there's Ellen, there's
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson.
Our feature presentation.
That's a good point.
Well done.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It is the 10th of July. I want to start with the grossest story possible.
Oh, really?
That way we can't go lower.
Well, and people aren't really eating. It's too
exactly.
early.
It's a little before people eat, and then it's a terrible story, and then you know that all stories from now on are going to be better.
Okay.
This guy who is, I believe, 59 years old, was hiding in a septic tank. Now,
how do you do that? Jail's better.
Because I don't know. There are so many ways that you can see naked women. If that's what you want.
That's what he was doing. I thought he was hiding, not to get caught from the law.
He was hiding to watch.
No.
Yes.
So he liked to watch women.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good place if that's what you like.
Well, sort of, except for, you could probably pull that right up on the internet. Yeah, I would imagine.
Well, I think in person is different.
Yeah, but again, it's
did he like to take the bath in all of that?
It's your environment that you're sitting, standing, whatever in that seems like it would be bad.
Did he have galoshes?
They didn't mention galoshes. They just said they found him there when a woman looked down in there and said, "That's a guy."
Wow. Can you imagine looking down and seeing two eyes looking up at you?
That's a dude's face right there. That's a person down there in the septic tank. So that's going the extra step.
I wonder how long he'd been doing that.
I don't know. They didn't say how long that he'd been doing it, but I would imagine probably a little while. I don't know how you wouldn't get sick.
I know. I hope he didn't have any open sores.
Me too. I would hate to see this guy get sick.
Because that'd be bad. Good point.
Seriously. There are certain people where you just go, all right, this guy's never going to contribute to society.
That is an excellent point.
A guy who hides in a septic tank so that he can watch what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe is a guy that we should just deport. Even if he's from here, we should just deport him. Just say.
Where do we send someone like that?
Doesn't matter. We don't care where you go. He can't be
here. Not here anymore.
Right. You must go someplace else and find a foreign septic tank. Because we don't need your business. So anyway, that's the start for today's show.
Yum, yum, yum.
Make you feel better. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have comedian Bob Saget in the studio.
Bob Saget.
Very excited about that. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. We have your tickets to Comic-Con, which is huge.
And sold out.
And is next weekend, by the way.
It is?
It's a week from Thursday.
Jeez.
It's a week from tomorrow, yeah. How crazy
that's
is that?
Stunning.
So we're going to give away tickets for that. We got a little game. You're going to have to earn it for that.
Okay.
Petros Papadakis. Did I mention him?
No.
Petros Papadakis will be here talking sports. And hopefully that's
sorta.
All.
Sort of.
Hopefully sports and that's all. Dodgers are doing pretty well. He's probably going to talk about it. Yeah, unfortunately. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. And that's 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. I don't know if you heard yesterday we played Neil Diamond's new song about freedom.
Because we're Americans, goddammit.
It is...
they're not going to take us down.
Terrible.
How dare you?
I mean, it's not even... It's horrible.
All right, Commie Joe. Why don't you just go back to Commie Land where you belong?
We will talk more about that coming up, along with your Comic-Con tickets coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. First, Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
You sell your sausage somewhere else, mister.
I was hoping you'd keep that alive.
This is America. I'm not interested in you bashing Neil and that amazing patriotic song.
That song blows.
Justin Bieber's a dick.
Yeah, of mythic proportions.
New video has made its way to the internet. Apparently shot in New York City earlier this year. This is according to TMZ.com. He is leaving some nightclub, exiting through a restaurant kitchen, and Bieber decides it's time to take a leak.
Oh, no.
Rather than go to a bathroom, you know, like a human being. He just whips it out and then takes a whiz into a mop bucket used to clean the restaurant's floors.
What? Just to be funny?
Yeah, you know, he's laughing like he's a...
Well, he is a funny
king
guy.
King of the world.
Look at me, peeing in a bucket.
But, you know, this means, like, whoever's job it is to mop the floors, whatever, now has to, you know, clean out that bucket and get new water and everything and do, you know, his job is made twice as hard because this dick is just being a douchebag.
He's a douche.
He really is super consistent, though. Like, you never see something about Justin Bieber and go, wow, that is a really good guy right
there. He did a good thing.
Right.
Later on in the video, at the end, he grabs some cleaning fluid and starts spraying a photo of Bill Clinton that's hanging on the wall, saying, F Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Yeah. You showed him.
Guy from Canada?
Oh, that's right.
See the picture of him with the Stanley Cup?
Sure.
The Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Blackhawks not taking care of the cup. You Blackhawks fans should be very upset.
You should. Yes. Some sort of uprising.
That's right.
Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
No, Kevin, I told you, Abraham. She may not be destined for sobriety. You know, she just went into rehab as part of her...
Because of the DUI.
Sentence with her DUI, yeah. Exactly, Lisa. They have just kicked her out of that rehab.
They're strict
at rehab. She was 48 hours... away from the end of her 10-day stint in that rehab, and they kicked her out. Here's why. She was trying to take photos of the other patients there, including Tanning Mom, who was in the same therapy group, apparently, at the institute. I guess so.
I want to go to that one.
According to sources, she bullied other patients and counselors, and then started inviting paparazzi to take photos of her at the center.
She's so desperate for attention.
She was given her walking papers 48 hours before the end of her 10-day stint, so she has to now make it up someplace else.
Wow.
Maybe this could be a violation of probation, I hope. We'll have to wait and see. But. And we're talking about spectacular young women. Elizabeth Hasselbeck has got new career opportunities. She is leaving The View, and now she is joining the Fox and Friends morning show in September.
Perfect fit.
There's nothing of value that has been lost or gained by either side in this situation as she just goes from one show to another.
Another place I won't watch her.
Exactly. but she is, as Lisa mentioned, perfect for that show. She and Gretchen Carlson can get together and they can rattle their heads and listen to the shaking inside. It'll be very entertaining. And not only is Sci-Fi bringing us Sharknado tomorrow night, how exciting is that?
Sharknado.
We're talking to the director of Sharknado tomorrow, by the way.
Can't wait.
Very excited. But Sci-Fi Network, in its honor, is scheduled a whole day of shark-themed disaster films.
Oh, great.
That'll be going all day long, leading up to the premiere of Sharknado. So you're going to get Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Okay.
Then you get Malibu Shark Attack.
Right.
Swamp Shark. Super Shark. And, of course, Sharktopus.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
So you get that. And then after the Sharknado premiere, you get Two-Headed Shark Attack and Shark Zone. So it's a lot of sharks tomorrow. You know that.
Imagine you're in the water and a two-headed shark comes up and that starts attacking with both mouths.
That would be bad.
That would suck.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
It's my take on a sci-fi movie.
For strong.
If that was real, that would suck.
That would suck. Credits. Today's celebrity birthdays. People born on today, July the 10th. Sofia Vergara. She's 41 years old today. It's the best 41 in the world there.
Not a bad 41.
Adrian Grenier of Entourage, of course, 37 years old. Jessica Simpson celebrates her 33rd birthday. Apparently, Jessica Simpson is very upset because everyone has just ignored her second child. no one cares that she gave birth.
I don't think anyone cared about the first child.
Well, it was a little bit of a news story. This one, just no one gives a rat's ass.
Welcome to reality.
What did she give, name the kid? Do you remember anyone?
No.
Ace?
I didn't even know it was
Ace. Ace. Ace the crime dog. Is what
they call it. I don't care.
Well, I'm sorry, Mel. Thomas Ian Nicholas. You know him from the American Pie movies. Also 33 years old today. And, of course, just in honor of Kevin, Nikola Tesla, who, of course, invented the Tesla motor car.
Don't be stupid, Ralph. That's not, he did not do that.
He was
that.
Born on this day in 1856, which means he's been around for a long time building those cars.
That's true.
Nikola Tesla.
Let's just let him go.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
Yeah. That was A Moment with Kevin.
He thought he invented the electric motor many, many years before that car was
built. And the car was named in his honor.
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't come.
If you'd like to explain that further, Kevin, you
know,
Kevin
please.
At krock.com.
Got it.
You can just send him an email.
Got that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
On the way, your tickets for Comic-Con, and also we're going to talk to UFC middleweight champion, Chris Weidman, who knocked out Anderson Silva. And nothing's ever made me more happy in my entire life. He's just dancing around, acting like a dick, and Chris just went, boom! Knocked him out. So I can't
so
wait
sweet.
To talk to him. That's on the way. First, Neil Diamond back in the news. I am not a Neil Diamond fan. I don't know how long it's been since he's made new music. I think he's one of those guys that still sings all of his hits from the 70s or 80s or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess he does great business.
And he does good. Yeah, traveling on the road, he seems to sell stuff out. But he apparently, in Boston, they do Sweet Caroline at sporting events. And they all sing him at the top of their lungs. Why?
I don't know, but I did it at a Red Sox game. It was really fun.
Everybody does it there, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then they started doing it here some, and I was like, you know what? Let's let Boston have that. I don't think we need to be singing Sweet Caroline. But anyway, he decided that he needed to write a new song about freedom, a new song because of the tragedy of the Boston bombing at the marathon. He was going to sit down and he was going to pen a new song for them, and it isn't good. I'd go so far as to say, well, you have a listen.
Two hundred years. And here we are today.
What else rhymes with day?
With freedom still our guiding light. Defending it with all our might. We're never gonna change. Forever look away. We stand for freedom every day. They'll never take us down. Though some may try, we're gonna stand our ground. It's do or die. The freedom that we found can't be denied. And they can never take us down. Oh no, our freedom is why.
Our freedom is why. Oh. Dear God.
Yeah, it's not good.
Neil Diamond?
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
What are you doing?
I'm singing about America.
First of all,
the greatest country in the world.
First of all, it does sort of sound like you're doing a parody of yourself.
How dare you, sir?
Well, I mean, a little bit. You used to sound like
just
that. Now you sound
dedicating my life to America and the good people of Boston.
Right.
Been through so much.
How do you feel like the song came out?
I couldn't be happier.
Did you write it or did your grandkids write it?
I wrote it from my heart. I wrote it about America, about freedom, and about they're never going to take us down.
Right.
Freedom!
Right. Was it a first?
Thing that makes America great, my friend.
Was it a first take? I mean, did you?
No, it was crafted over many months of hard work.
Many months.
And we're very happy with the outcome, and I hope you are too.
Well,
all the proceeds, of course, when you buy it on iTunes or wherever you pick it up, all go to Boston to help those people who are still recovering from the bombing.
Right. But here's the way I look at it. Had you made a better song, it would have raised more money for the people at the bombing.
This is a great song because it's about freedom.
Right, I know.
And how they're never going to take us down.
Yeah.
And it's inspired me to put together an entire album of songs about what I love about America.
Oh.
So it's called Neil Diamond, What I Love About America.
Now, my original understanding was that you were just doing this as a one-off song.
It was supposed to be that, but then I got so inspired by the work I was doing how great the song turned out.
Okay.
That the ideas of why I loved America so much, and why we're the greatest nation in the world.
Right.
Just kept flowing out of me, and I kept writing song after song, and now I've got an album's worth of material.
Wow. Now, when can we expect this crappy album? This album.
It'll be ready for the lucrative gift-giving holiday season.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But speaking of which, one of the tracks from the song, another thing I love about America, is called Capitalism.
Capitalism.
We love to make a buck.
Oh, no.
And I don't give a damn.
Okay.
I'll sell you all my songs. I sing them like a ham. Yeah, I'm
true.
Very happy with that one.
Is that a finished product, that
yeah.
one?
Capitalism, that's called Capitalism, they'll never cheap us down.
They'll never cheap us down.
That's right. There's another song called Democracy.
Okay.
That I love, because one of the great things about this country is that we are a democracy.
Now, is this in the same form as the other songs?
It's very, very different than
very
the other
different.
Songs. Yes.
Okay.
Judicial, legislative, and executive branches. We've got three different areas. They check and balance each other, so we don't get dictators. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that
being
a number one hit. I think it's going to be huge.
I'm not positive that one's going to sell.
It's called Democracy.
Democracy.
Three different levels of government of checks and balances.
Right. That's kind of a tough first line.
This is another great song. It's called Black Guy.
What?
A black guy is our president. Who could have seen that coming?
I think a lot of people did.
But it is pretty cool.
Right?
His wife has a great ass.
I'm not sure you should be talking about...
black guy. His wife has a great ass.
Right, but I'm not sure that...
Another thing I love about America?
Right.
Strip clubs.
Strip clubs.
I like to see boobies. Come shake them in my face. I've got a $20 bill. Oops, it slipped into my waist. And I'm still working on that one.
It's time for...
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
And then, in about 10 minutes, we're going to give away tickets for Comic-Con.
Okay.
So be ready to call, and we're going to play a game. The guy that I'd like to feature today, I don't know if you've seen this on YouTube or not, but it looks like a pit bull runs into their house and starts attacking people. Not theirs. Not their pit bull.
Oh, wow.
So it helps itself to the front door. It's unlike vampires. It does not need to be invited in.
Right.
And it runs inside, and a guy fights him off with a pillow and pushes him out the door, and they close the door. And now there's nothing that they can do about the fact that this dog is sitting on the porch, and they need to leave for work and whatever they're doing for the day, and it's doing nothing but humping the pillow and stalking back and forth.
Wow, this dog has targeted them.
Yes. So the guy gets out a video camera and gives us a little play-by-play.
Okay, this is some unbelievable shit. Recording from the bando, that's what I'm gonna call it, because this is some old crazy Mufasa arc type crap. This dog just walked in our damn house. This big dog and got the throwing up on my porch.
So now,
he threw you, up on his porch.
So you look at the porch, and it's just, I don't know how a dog that small, it's probably 60 pounds, can throw up 120 pounds. I don't understand it, but that happened.
You know what I'm saying? Andre had to push him out with the pillow, where it snatched the pillow from Andre, and it just, just humping it.
It did snatch the pillow, and man, is he going to town on that pillow. That dog loves that pillow.
Maybe that dog is just looking for some love.
Well, that dog is getting it in all kinds of different ways.
We trapped in the house. Across the street working on the house, though.
Now, here's where he gets upset, because there's a guy across the street. He uses the N-word a lot, so we had to beep it out.
Okay.
Across the street working on his house out in the front yard. And
dog's not bothering him?
Not bothering him at all. And this guy's not helping at all.
Right.
And these guys are trapped in the house.
They ain't even helping. They don't even give a f- sweeping the f***ing yard while this big-ass dog is humping my pillow and we trapped in the house. About to pee on everything. You know what I'm saying? Now he humping like it's just a good old day. I can't wait till the vet get here. Won't you go home, dog?
Now he turns to the dog and he starts to talk to the dog as if it can understand him. Why don't you go home, dog? And the dog just looks at him. The dog, it's weird. The dog does look at him like, why don't you shut your mouth?
Go home. The dog police coming up in here. Look at him looking at me all crazy. The dog police. Can you imagine these big teeth running up in your house? You chilling, just saying if you was about to barbecue or anything, and this thing ran up in your house, man, I left Andre and Josh in this mother. I went in the kitchen.
So this guy, being the good roommate that he is, ran from the dog and closed the door of the kitchen and left the fight to the other two guys that live there.
He's a good roommate.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. That. I fight a dog. I ain't fighting no dog. I shoot motherfucking dog. Get off my porch. You gotta go, man. The police coming.
Now, what's a dog supposed to do if the police are coming?
I don't know.
Exactly what is the dog supposed to do under that circumstance? He's supposed to go, huh? And then go, oh, police, bad. I should
better
leave.
Go.
You must not be a dog because you must think you white because the motherfucker, a black dog would have ran off this porch when I said police. You taking breaks and me at sessions on humping my poor pillow that been drooled on, dragged, and mistreated.
I don't know if he's more upset that he can't go to work or he's more upset for his pillow's feelings.
I think it's the pillow.
He's really hurt by the pillow getting attacked by the dog.
And look at him, and he back at it. What'd I tell you? It's like a dog pouring up. Here, take it, man. Take it. Because all I want this dog to do is get off my porch so I can go to work. Get off my porch. You hear me? Man, this is crazy. Get off my porch, you nasty motherfucker. Throwing up and I just swept the porch.
He just swept. The guy just swept. Come on, dog.
Where was this?
You don't go, I'm not sure, you don't go throw up on a man's porch that he just swept. That's not cool.
On this laying down, man. Oh, man. Man, call the police, man. Call the police, man.
I thought he called the police.
He said he was bluffing.
He was bluffing with the dog.
He said to the dog, you are not going to want to be here when the police get here. And then he realized that the dog didn't care because the dog doesn't know the word police. So now he wants to call the police for real. But that is Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day right there.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
All right, Comic-Con tickets. We have them for you. You call 1-800-520-1067 right now. You got to win them. Ralph has a game for you, but we're going to give you some Comic-Con tickets when we get back on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes till 7 o'clock. Comic-Con is next weekend. Next weekend.
Ralph love it so much.
Loves Comic-Con.
I love it so much.
Now we have a pair of tickets.
Yes.
How are we going to give these away? With a game that you
came up
with?
You have to earn it. I want real comic book fans to go to Comic-Con. You have to know your superheroes for this game. We're going to ask you to identify superheroes strictly by what they do as their day jobs in their secret identities. This is what they do to make a buck while they're being regular people when they're not dressing up in spandex and kicking the supervillain ass.
All right.
So we will give you the secret day job. You have to tell us who the hero is with our super day job.
We're going to Comic-Con. We want you to join us there. Just guess the of the superhero. This is Super Day Jobs.
Super Day Jobs.
Look in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
Oh, nope. It's just Kevin and me. Those guys.
Wow. Speaking of day jobs. So it's easy. If I say this guy is a reporter for the Daily Planet, then No, you would say Superman.
Superman.
It's going to be just like that. Only, obviously, not the big ones. You can't do the big ones because they're too easy.
Too easy. All right, let's start with John, an elementary school teacher. Hi, John.
Hi, John. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, John. And all of these day jobs I'm going to be giving are like sort of the classic day jobs that these characters' secret identities have owned. You know, sometimes they change jobs and everything, but this is what they're known for, okay? Right. Here's your question, John. This hero kept his day job of police scientist even after he was bathed in chemicals and struck by lightning.
That's the Flash.
The Flash!
That is the Flash.
Well done, sir. Hold on, you're going to go in the drawing. We're going to pick out a name and give
one
them
dude. Let's go to George.
How dare you, sir?
Hi, George.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. It is me.
Hi, George.
George manages a warehouse. Here's your question.
George, by day, this guy is a blind lawyer with his law partner, Foggy.
The Daredevil?
The Daredevil.
Nicely
well done,
look at
sir.
That. My nickname should be Foggy.
You should be.
Yeah. Really, out of all the...
You walk around in a fog constantly.
Hey, there's a girl, Crystal.
See?
Hey, Crystal.
Hey, how's it going?
She's an accountant, though.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Just saying.
She's just an accountant.
Just saying.
She could be hot and an
what?
Accountant and a geek.
Are you hot?
I sure hope so.
Okay.
Are you a geek?
No, no, no.
Then why are you trying to get tickets for Comic-Con?
Boyfriend.
Because I like your guys' show.
Oh, all right.
All right, here you go.
It'll be fun, even if you don't like it. It's a great experience.
She's going to be screwed, though, with this question, if she doesn't know superheroes. Here we go. We'll try it anyway. When this guy's not protecting the planet, he's a test pilot for either the Air Force or for Ferris Aircraft.
Is that Iron Man?
No, sorry. Green Lantern, the Green Lantern. Hal Jordan,
Crystal.
Test pilot.
Crystal didn't want to go anyway, though, so.
That's right.
That's fine.
She just calling in because she likes the show.
Let's go to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Ryan is a supervisor, it says here.
All right.
No further information.
He just goes around overseeing
things.
Everyone, making sure people doing their
hey,
job.
Hey, you doing your job right? All right,
down
good.
The street. All right, here's your question. This alien superhero protected his secret identity by posing as a human police detective named John Jones.
UFC fighter.
I'm
looking at the answer, and I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of this
know.
Guy?
No.
He's a legend.
Never heard of
the original
him.
Members of
I've
the,
never heard
the
of
Justice
either.
League. The Martian Manhunter, sir. The Martian Manhunter.
Oh, thanks.
Have you heard of that?
No.
Nope.
What I loved about that character is his Martian name was Jean Jones.
Really?
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
Wow, they really disguised that.
Pretty strong.
Changed it up. Let's go to another guy, Andrew.
How dare you.
Works at the gas company. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, guys?
Played a little game here. Super day jobs.
Andrew,
all right, ready.
To throw people off the scent, this godlike figure would appear as a handicapped doctor with a cane, just like Dr. House.
Handicapped doctor with a cane.
Yeah.
Thor?
Well Thor. Done.
Nicely done. I didn't know that.
Dr.
All right.
Donald Blake, yeah. Well done.
You hold on, Andrew. Let's go to Elton. Hello, Elton.
Yeah.
Elton. When not being the world's mightiest mortal, this guy is a kid and a radio personality.
Kid and a radio personality, Billy Batson, Shazam.
Well done, sir. Captain Marvel or Shazam, we will accept
wow.
that as an answer. This
that's
guy's a real deal right here.
No kidding.
I think we have one more question.
All right, let's go to Corey. Hello, Corey.
Hello.
You ready? Super day jobs. Here you go.
All right, Corey. This guy's day job is almost as cool as a superhero gig. He's been an archaeologist and a museum curator.
Oh, man, give me the hard question. Let me see.
It's a lame day job, by the way.
Yeah, that's what
I think. Yeah, seems
sarcastic.
Like it. What was the question again?
Archaeologist and museum curator for this superhero. That's his super day job.
Not really sure who that is.
Hawkman. Hawkman.
And what does Hawkman do? Can he fly?
Yeah, he can fly with his end metal belt, of course.
All right, take it easy.
And he uses ancient war weapons like maces and stuff.
Why ain't you? Why doesn't he update?
Because he's in a museum, and that's what he's got around him, man. And he puts on his giant hawk helmet.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are hurting me.
Carter Hall.
Lisa.
Yes.
We need a drawing, please.
All right.
Let's pick out someone.
The winner is George.
George.
Congratulations, George.
Thank you, guys.
You're going to Comic-Con.
That's awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah. See you next week, and congratulations, and thanks for winning Super Day Jobs.
This is Super Day Jobs! Super Day Jobs!
Just after the top of the hour, Petros Papadakis coming in to talk sports.
A lot of fired-up Bachelorette talk in the other room, I'm telling you.
We'll try and keep that off the air if we can.
No, we're doing a huge Bachelorette break. To talk about Monday night's episode, and boy, we were so angry.
Comedian Bob Saget will be here, and we're going to talk to UFC middleweight champ, the new champ, Chris Weidman, the guy who knocked out Anderson Silva, coming up a little bit later on, about a half hour from right now on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph Garman.
It's been a good news, bad news situation for people out there who want to land themselves a smoking hot girlfriend.
Good news, bad news.
Yeah, like, for example... Stacey Keebler's now on the market.
Right.
Because she and George Clooney have separated. They're going their separate ways.
Can you call dibs on that, or how does it...
Yeah. In this case, you call Keebs.
Keebs, okay.
Yeah. Keebs! And then you get to go out with Stacey Keebler next.
All right.
How do you follow up, though? How do you be the guy who goes out with Stacey Keebler after she's been spending a couple years with George Clooney?
Meaning you can't measure up no matter what.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You say, would you like to come back to my one-room apartment in Van Nuys? And she's like, I just spent 3 years in an estate on Lake Como in Italy.
Yeah.
Then you say, oh, well, I'll take that as a
never mind.
Yes. Although, who was it? Elisabetta Canalis, mm-hmm. Canali or whatever. She was an Italian broad that dated Clooney.
Right.
And then she went on to Steve-O, right?
To date Steve-O.
Yes.
Seriously,
yeah.
Dated.
Are they still together?
I think they are, yeah.
Really?
So maybe you can match up. Maybe if you got the right personality.
Yeah, dude.
So that was the good news. Bad news, however, is it looks like Jason Statham and Rosie Huntington-Whiteley are getting married.
Oh.
So she's off the market.
She's a good deal.
They've been dating for 3 years. She is a little thin. Word is that the two of them have a very serious and physical connection, despite their 19-year age difference.
I'm sure they do.
He's got about 20 years. He's hanging a 20 burger on her right there. That ain't too shabby. They are into all kinds of naughty stuff, say friends.
All right.
Oh. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
I saw Jason.
You don't sound naughty with a name like Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
You sound like you must be
now presenting
snobby, yes.
Rosie Huntington-Whiteley and Lord Huntington-Whiteley.
Some old guy should be tapping a cane at the top of a stairway.
But Jason Statham does not fit that
mold. No, he doesn't, because he's all like this, ain't he?
Saw him at Coachella 1 year, and wow, does he attract the opposite sex.
He is a manly man.
Yes, he is.
And I think women like that about him. He's a good-looking fella. And he's a lot of this. He's unspoken, you know, so he looks very sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to start talking like that everywhere I go.
I don't think it'll
hello,
work.
Hello, ladies. How you doing? Yeah. I'm Ralph Goldman. I walk the movie peak, don't I?
Think that would bring him around?
Nope.
Kristen Stewart's having a hard time after her breakup with Robert Pattinson.
Aw.
Yeah. She is...
imagine her, but depressed.
Right. Then, imagine her depressed... parking her blue pickup truck Beater in a parking lot in North Hollywood. And when she comes out, she notices someone has written in the dust on her hood, I heart Rob. Then imagine the paparazzi are there to capture it, and they're all taking pictures as she's reacting to it.
Oh, that sort of sucks.
She flipped out,
yeah,
screamed F you at the photographers, and then apparently sped away in her blue pickup truck.
Most of us can get away.
I wonder if the paparazzi did it. You think somebody went up there and wrote on there and then just sat back in the bushes waiting for a reaction?
Would have been a smart paparazzi.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Wow.
Yeah, so she is not doing well, apparently, in the wake
of
the breakup.
I don't think anybody likes to be mocked publicly.
I heard Rob.
That's
pretty funny. And, you know, they had these weight loss shows. Biggest Loser, Extreme Weight Loss at All.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Tara Costa was a Biggest Loser contestant. A lovely girl who was on the show lost 155 pounds on that show.
She sounds fat.
Well, she was until she lost 155 pounds.
Well, you never know. Did she start at like 5 bills and she's still 350?
No.
All right, I'm just asking.
She became sexy and fit, and that led to her job with the company that owns I Love Kickboxing.
No kidding.
Yeah, she got a job working for them as a spokesmodel. She was making appearances for ilovekickboxing.com, and she would go around doing personal appearances, and everything went well until the weight started coming back on.
She looks like she's gained weight.
The fitness company is now suing her because she gained back a bunch of the weight, and according to their documents, is too fat to make appearances for them now.
Oh, no.
You've got a weight problem, and you know it.
That is cruel. And yet, she does have a contract that says she had to maintain her current level of fitness and conditioning in order to keep working for the company. So
they work so hard on that show to get that weight off.
You couldn't live your life like that. Like you do in The Biggest Loser. All you do 24 hours a day is concentrate on weight loss and working out.
You have somebody yelling at you.
Come on, fatty, keep up!
You're trying to spend your rest of your life, you know, doing that, you just kill yourself. So now Tara's fat and out of a job. So.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
Now she's going to be in a show called The Biggest Suicide Watch. So I'm looking forward to that, where they just put you in a room. And
I haven't heard of that show.
Yeah, they take all the sharp items out of the drawers and try to keep you
off.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's good. This season on NBC. Speaking of NBC, you know they got that 12 million second quiz bubble show
that
we talked about?
The one in the...
I don't know that one. I must not have been here.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about it. It's coming on September. It's only going to be on NBC, and it's called the 12 million second quiz hour show or something. And they put you in a giant glass hourglass.
Okay.
In the middle of Times Square or someplace, and they ask you trivia questions, and you have to live in the glass bubble while they're asking you questions. It's the most convoluted, backwards-ass show I've ever heard of.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea, and we mocked it roundly when it was first announced.
How do they win? What's the point?
No, you have to live under harsh conditions and answer trivia questions at the same time, and it's going to last for 12 days straight, and you'll be able to tune in via your internet to watch how they're doing while they're not sleeping, answering questions. Just sounds like the most just crapped-up show ever. apparently, as of yesterday, Ryan Seacrest will be hosting.
Is that right?
Yeah, so now we have the...
Fantastic.
It's the perfect storm of garbage.
When does that start?
This September. Not until the fall. But
I think I want to watch that. It sounds like it might be bad enough.
12 million second quiz in a bubble.
Sand falling on your head.
Yeah, we put nails in your shoes, make you walk.
And you can't sleep.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sofia Vergara. He's 41 years old today. That's a good deal right there.
Adrian, it could be Sound Down.
No, love her. I love her accent. I love her wacky voice and her sense of humor.
Oh, it's just for the TV show. Okay.
Jay, I don't know what you're talking about. Love that. Adrian Grenier is 37 years old today. Jessica Simpson turns 33. And Thomas Ian Nicholas of the American Pie film series is 33 years old as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 3 minutes after 7 o'clock. Turn your radios down just a little.
Don't be a hater, man.
Just a little. I'm saying a smidge.
All right.
I use the word smidge. Petros Papadakis is in the studio. Co-host of the Petros and Money Show, which of course is on AM 570.
Your Doyer station.
So let's talk about Puig. What the hell? Where'd this guy come from? I'm not a huge baseball fan, as you know.
Yeah, but you love Puig.
Well, I love the story.
You like to get a fresh Puiging every single night, don't you? Because I do.
I love the story of a guy that just comes out of nowhere and dominates.
Well, it's not nowhere. It's Cuba. And obviously, they don't have cell phones. They have cars from the 50s.
Right.
And the last time we all saw Cuba was in The Godfather Part 2 with Hyman Roth and whatnot. But the Dodger scouting department got very international when they got these new owners, the Guggenheim Group. And one of their scouts found this guy. And
did they get him out on a raft?
I believe so. he had to defect to get out, and that's kind of a complex thing. I don't know if he took a raft. That's a little insensitive. I mean, look, we all saw Scarface, Kevin.
Right.
But he did get here, and we saw him in spring training. You know, Matt and I traveled out to Arizona, and when we saw him there, it was freakish. Everybody was talking about, well, this is Bo Jackson, and he's not mature. He's only 22, and basically he don't know no better. He doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
He's got to be driven around and all that.
But doesn't it seem like there are hundreds of those people that never pan out?
Not a five-tool player.
Right.
And not five tools does not mean a bunch of guys in V-necks on The Bachelorette,
right,
which we are going to discuss.
That's a different kind of tool.
I'm told we are going to discuss The Bachelorette.
Well, hopefully we won't have time, but let's continue talking about Puig.
No. I'm on vacation. I'm not even on the radio.
You're on vacation now?
Yes, no, I am here. I flew in from Hawaii last night.
Okay.
I got in at midnight.
All right.
I watched 2 hours of The Bachelorette, and I'm talking Bachelorette.
Right, but not right now. Not right now. So Puig.
There's going to be Bachelorette talk.
That's what I'm being told.
Five tools.
Yes.
What does that mean?
No V-necks.
What does it mean?
It means he can throw it real hard, Lisa.
Yes.
Like hard.
Okay.
Like he's got a hose on his arm, just a cannon there.
Getting excited.
Okay. He's fast.
Uh-huh.
Like he can fire his legs, and he's got a strong ass and legs and core, and he can fly. Okay.
You should see Pete's face when he talks about
his
ass.
He's animated.
I mean, he's an athlete. Have you seen him?
Yeah, of course.
He can hit for average. Which means, you know, he can slap it around the yard like Pete Rose.
Okay.
But he can also hit for power. Ah, hey, all right. And he can dive and catch balls and all that. Five tools.
So he can do
Cinco.
There's nothing he can't do.
Well, I don't know if he's allowed to drive.
Now, when he came.
I don't know. he barely speaks English. There's some things that are foreign to him.
Right.
He's Cuban.
Okay, now
he don't know no better. I mean, he's new to this. Capitalism is new to Yasiel Puig.
It must be unbelievable for him compared to where
you followed his Twitter.
No, I haven't.
It's the most hilarious thing in the world. All it is photographs of buildings from cars. Look at that building in San Diego. I mean, it's like that. Look, I'm in San Francisco now. And, it's photos from all, it's the young man's wonderment.
Is it in English?
With our society. Half and half. I think he has
That's
a little
funny.
Help. He's been begging for all-star votes for the last.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Will you please vote for me for the all-star game? It's kind of like that.
Let's talk about that. So he is what? The write-in candidate?
He's only been on the team for a short amount
I know.
Of time. So this not. It's not a normal thing, even though it happened kind of with Mike Trout last year, but there was more time for Mike Trout, who's actually a very similar kind of player, just a guy who doesn't
five
seem...
Five tools?
Five tools, yeah!
Nice, Lisa.
Yeah, but not a bunch of dudes waiting in line at the standard, you
right,
know, back in the day.
That.
Five tools, you have skills.
Right.
Five different skills.
I think we've explained that.
Should I go over it again?
No,
in some
we're good.
Detail.
Because when he fires those thighs.
Really? Does he have great ass?
Oh, you can't believe it. The strength in the ass.
Now, what's happening with the writing vote for the All-Stars?
Oh,
is that over?
Though your
it?
Fans are trying to get it cracking all day and all night. You know, if you follow these people on Twitter, it gets to be
that's
a
all
little
they do?
Yeah, inundating. Their Dodger Twitter feed last night was like, everybody on the East Coast is asleep, but we're up. Start voting. And it's just like, okay, you know, I'm sure the guy's going to get in.
When is the voting in? Oh, is he going to get in for sure?
I believe he has to get in because here's a player that makes it more exciting.
Yeah.
You know, the All-Star game is an exhibition, even though the dumbass winner gets home field advantage in the World Series. If that was really the case, if it really mattered, then Clayton Kershaw, our Dodger pitcher, would pitch seven innings in the All-Star game
right,
as opposed to just
do.
A couple. So it really is an exhibition. What's more exciting right now in baseball than Yasiel Puig. I want to see him play aside from some white dude from Texas.
Now, he came to the Dodgers and just started killing, and I kept thinking to myself, another new guy that comes out of the gate strong.
Right.
But what are the chances he's going to hang? You know, what are the chances he can keep it up?
Well, he
seems to be able to.
He has a violence that is just in his swing, in his actions, and the way he runs. He's exciting. And I think it has, obviously, they won 14 in the last 17. It has ignited the baseball team. And he's almost like a catalyst.
Isn't it bizarre?
The straw that stirs the drink. You know,
one person can make all that difference.
Yeah, but if somebody's that talented.
Yeah.
You know, in baseball, it's kind of like that. If you have somebody that plays every day that's that crazy, and the Dodgers obviously have a giant payroll and a lot of talented players.
Right, and he can't be anywhere near the top of that payroll.
No, but they paid him a lot of money.
They did.
I mean, millions of 40-something. I mean, they blew everybody else away with their offer because they knew they had some kind of vision about him. And it was kind of a shot in the dark to get a guy out of Cuba. Remember his team in Cuba I told you about?
Yeah, I don't know.
No,
anything
I was
about
here. I told you about it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't listen when you talk baseball.
The Cienfuegos Elefantes. Don't you remember their logo?
No.
They have a motto? You don't.
What's their motto?
The elephant's pace is slow, but crushing.
That's
where
motto?
He came from, yeah. The Cienfuegos Elefantes.
That's a terrible motto.
Every team in Cuba, there's like three, and they play each other 100 times. And they each have a motto. There's one that was like called the Red Bat,
right.
and the motto is, the Red Bat is late. But it arrives. All right.
We need to start getting mottos for our teams here.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I like that.
Like, though your game is fun, but make sure you leave.
Without fighting.
Before the game begins. Before the game gets too exciting, make sure you leave to avoid traffic. Let's go, Doyle. The Angel game is fun, but there's a lot of white trash from down the 91.
Is that right?
That's their motto.
Now, when does the voting end? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
That
why
answer.
Do you ask me these? I told you I came in here to talk Bachelorette.
We'll get to it.
I've been
it.
On vacation.
We'll get to the Bachelorette.
But the voting's got to end soon because the damn game is next week.
Hey, Dave, Dave, tell us on the air.
Thursday at 1 p.m.
Thursday at 1 p.m.
Right.
So tomorrow.
So get your vote on, Doyer. Is it Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Like, get your vote on, Yo-Yo fans.
All right.
We'll
take a break.
I even voted, and I never do that crap.
You voted?
You
I was in Hawaii. I was sitting on a beach. I picked up my stupid-ass iPad. I voted for Puig. I love him. Get a fresh Puiging. You know, like you used to watch Seventh Heaven when you were younger, Kevin?
Right.
You wouldn't watch it for the Christian
of
values.
Not.
You'd watch it to get a fresh Beeling, right?
Right.
Jessica Biel.
Absolutely.
Back when she had a... You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
But
and that's the same
now,
thing you get from Puig?
Fresh Puiging.
Okay.
Every single night. You know, it's been a long time since Manny's days, which wasn't actually that long ago,
yeah,
that you would monitor the Dodger game so you can turn it on when this guy's at bat. And that's what a lot of people are doing. It's a lot of fun.
Crazy.
Great wonderment going on right now at Dodger Stadium.
Speaking of great wonderment,
yo soy cubano!
That's going to go away because P wants to talk about, you know.
Everybody wants it.
The Bachelor.
Thank God my TiVo saved it.
For 2 hours?
Yeah, well, all my Bravo shows almost edged it out, you know, because I've been out of town.
When I was on vacation, I tried to watch The Bachelorette.
Well, see, this is a hard time of year, though. This is a hard time of year to watch The Bachelor.
Why?
Yeah, it is.
Well, because now she's weeded out a lot of the drama. There's not as many dudes sit there and nipping at each other's scrotes.
So it's not as good?
Yeah, it's like a whole, well, it's just a love fest. You know, it's a lot of the same stuff. Like, they ask these questions. Like,
I made it.
Oh, we're talking Bachelorette now. Aren't we?
I made it three Woo! Minutes. I made it like 2 to 3
yeah, man,
minutes.
Didn't you TiVo it, man? A little fast forward action?
No, BBR I realized after 2 to 3 minutes, I didn't want to TiVo it or fast forward.
Every day
it
she goes on, you hear her say this. You know, I could see myself with Michael and having kids right. with him and
we
going
need to take
the
a break. We'll come back
out.
And let people.
But
talk
she's
about
got
that.
A big one, too. Oh, you know, just like, please.
That's where we were last night. Madeira. Yeah, the right island of Madeira.
Portugal, man. What you know about that? Linguiça. Woo!
Ralph's love.
That's a Portuguese sausage.
And P's love of the Bachelorette. I do not share or
you know
get.
What? I come up here.
Yeah.
I'm on vacation.
You are on vacation.
On his own time, for God's
sake. I'm impressed
sakes.
By that. You came in.
I walked up here. It's right. raining. I don't know if you know that.
Okay. It's raining.
I walked here from San Pedro, California.
You did? You walked?
You're going to have that kind of attitude about this?
Yeah.
You're going to have that... Come on now.
Yes, I am.
Look.
Look, it doesn't make the show any better.
Okay. You could have walked on your can't make the show any better. That's the thing.
You could have walked on your knees here. It wouldn't have made the show
now,
better.
Now, even Ralph, who does really, I think you're invested in Desiree's journey maybe a little more than me.
I love Desiree.
And by that, you mean a little too much.
And the journey begins, and now the journey is coming to an end.
Well, the journey is never really complete.
No.
Because right
life,
when this,
life's a journey, Pete.
It is, yeah. And it's a journey for all these people. And when they started this journey, they didn't know that they were going to fall in love with Des. But okay. Now these guys are crazy but in love.
We're down to five.
With Desiree.
Oh, God, I'm bored already.
Five tools.
Yeah, five tools.
Can you believe the plunging V-necks on these
V-necks.
Guys?
A lot of hair gel, a lot of V-necks.
But these Vs are basically, these Vs are an affront to God. I mean, they're plunging too deep.
These are the guys that have the V-necks
this
that go down to the belly button.
This is man cleavage. I mean, I'm seeing sternum bones.
Yeah,
a little much.
And there's a lot of Vs. And, you know, they're bringing back the Henley. Remember when Brandon Walsh back on 90210 used to rock that Henley back in the day? That Jason Priestley Henley?
Right.
These guys got the Henleys going in Madeira, which is a nice island.
It's beautiful. I want to go there.
I was not aware of its existence.
Yeah. So what? They take them to an island, and then there's a
and
chick
there's
and
dating,
five guys.
They had a date. They had two they one-on-one dates, and they had a two-on-one date where they got to race go-karts, which is awesome.
Yeah, in Madeira. And at this point, Kevin,
we
don't get the drama amongst the men as much.
Because you know, that's all more of the of an actual early tools are gone?
Well,
kick them out?
The guys, there's just less dudes.
Okay.
And there's mutual respect now in this
right.
crowd.
Hey, bro, you're a good man.
Yeah, I'm not going to step on your toes, bro.
If she chooses you, bro, she's I want her too, bro.
If it isn't me, bro.
But
I
if
hope
she chooses
you, bro,
hey. She's going to be happy, and what, I'm okay with that, bro.
You,
I could never love again after this.
What you just said makes me want to stab you in the heart.
I know, it's awesome. But right now, it's kind of a love fest toward the end, I got to admit. There's not
least
as much acrimony, and there's a lot more, you know, I could see this guy as my husband.
But at least when they narrow it down to where there's fewer and fewer contestants, they make the show shorter.
No, it's still 2 hours. Still
because there's no way to fill 2 hours with
well,
five
you
guys.
You see Brooks and her in the clouds. They had their date in the clouds, which was lovely.
What does that mean? On a mountaintop or
they were on a peak so high, they were actually in the clouds while they were together.
Okay.
She kept saying, welcome to Cloud 9.
Terrestrial.
Oh, they were in Cloud 9.
Then they clinked their rosé.
I'm bored.
And then
I'm bored.
Chris the poet was writing a lot of poetry on their date.
Now this guy's got to stop.
There's a lot of poetry?
This guy's got a poem on every date.
And his poems suck, I'm guessing.
Well,
the
look, worst. Anybody who writes a poem and reads it for a chick on TV, that's going to be a bad poem. I mean, it's not T.S. Eliot sitting there. He's not reading The Freaking Wasteland, Kevin. And they are bad poetry. But the worst part is the guy is just smart enough. He's just smart enough and just a little obscure enough to write really bad poetry that he thinks is good.
Because he thinks it,
this is called relationship cubism. And then he just gets going.
Oh, God. I'm so bored. Yeah,
she loves it, though.
A little knowledge is a dangerous thing when it comes to Chris.
She starts to shift in her chair, and she gets all hot and bothered when he told her he loved her in a poem.
I know. He broke out the I love you poem, which is crazy.
But you guys don't buy the whole thing about where they think they're going to fall in
these
love.
These guys are seriously
no, they're not.
Oh, they're in love. It's a trick. It happens everywhere. It happened to you. If you went on that show, what happened to you?
And then Drew and Zach had their competing go-kart races, and Drew got the rose, so she will meet his family next week, which ABC is very excited about.
Hometown, bitch!
She will definitely meet Drew's family because he has a severely developmentally disabled sister.
Ow! So bored.
And ABC is just dying to get her on television, I guarantee you, because that's going to be a heartstring-pulling moment right there when
she meets the mentally deficient.
They're going to do some one-on-one interviews with that sister, really exploit her.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
The sister goes, you know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
All right, look. Those drops got to stop. This is a serious deal.
Especially when they're stepping on the jokes.
Yeah. We're talking about...
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
I'm on vacation.
So Michael was the one who ended up going home. Michael.
Yeah, but he was gay, so it didn't bother.
Wait, Michael's been gay this whole time? Everybody knew it?
Gay. We're pretty sure he's gay.
You're the woman for me. I could never, ever...
You're just such a special person.
Well, how did
and
he...
really, what the feelings you bring out in me, really, I think, just are more of a compliment to you and how special you are.
This morning, when I was putting on my bronzer, Desiree, I was thinking about how much I love you.
Federal prosecutor Michael was given the boot, finally, when she realized after 22 other guys left that he
was
very
say,
gay.
How did he make it past all the other guys?
He's a prosecutor. So he started weeding out the other people. He'd go after him and submarine him with his style. But then after a while, she looked at him and be like, well, this guy's clearly gay. There's nothing wrong with it, but the guy is...
But he shouldn't be on this show if we're looking for love with a woman.
If you're competing for the love of a woman, these are wonderful boys. All the boys here are great. They love you.
I am so... bold.
And as if we needed confirmation, at least in the back of the limo, when he got the boot, he did the very manly thing of pulling out his cell phone and calling his mom.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know they let him have cell phones.
I think once you get the boot, you're allowed to contact the outside world.
They just throw it to you and you grab it like a bottle of water at timeout in a football game?
Did he call his mom and start crying?
I really wanted
to make it. I thought he was going to have dignity. I was like, this guy's gay, so he can't be emotionally invested. So he's going to have some dignity on the way out and just say, hey, good show. I got rid of Ben. I got rid of James. I'm in great shape. I'm leaving Madeira.
No.
But no, he called his mom.
Do we have a clip, Ralph?
Yeah, we do. Hello, Mom. You're not going to meet Desiree. She sent me home tonight. No. I just don't know why that keeps happening to me.
Because you're gay.
I'm just not meant to get married and have a family. I don't know.
I don't know why that keeps happening to me.
You can get married now in California.
I don't know why these women keep breaking up with me and keep saying I'm great. And
did you hear the mom? Here we go again, son.
Here we go again. If she didn't love you as much as you love her, it wasn't meant to be.
And that seems to be the case.
But mom,
in his entire life.
Why does it keep happening to me? I don't know why these women keep ending the relationship. I'm confused.
I heard he took the nipple rings out and everything for The Bachelor.
He was really butching it up, and yet still couldn't close the deal with Desiree.
So now it's over?
No, hell no. Oh, we're going to go. Next week is like a 6-hour show.
Oh, hometown dates.
I'm coming in for, I think Ralph and I are going to do 2 hours.
I don't think that's going to happen at all.
We start at around 6 a.m. We're done shortly after 8.
I'm planting my flag on top of the hill like the gotcha fish.
The point is, this is pretty f***ing boring, so could you kill each other?
You don't know.
In just a second, we're going to talk to Chris Weidman, who is the guy who took the title away from Anderson Silva.
Nice.
Oh, my God. It was
the most amazing
thing maybe I've ever seen. Chris is on the phone now. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show. Couldn't be happier. Could not be happier. It drives me crazy when Anderson Silva does that taunting like he does, and he stands there and he acts like you're nobody, and he's done that before. He did that in a couple of fights, and I didn't buy his next fight based on the fact that I hated that. But here's my question for you. He's a really nice guy. We've had him in. We've interviewed him. Do you think it's just for show, or is he a dick?
You know, it's more, it's definitely disrespectful, it's cockiness, but what he's doing it with the intent to win. He's doing it to get inside my head or inside any of his opponent's heads.
So he's a counterpuncher, and he wants you to lose your temper and just charge in.
Exactly, and technically that's what he's doing. And then also, mentally, if you have an insecurity inside your mind going in the cage with him, especially with the mystique he has, he's going to... You know, he's going to expose that and make it come out and make you freeze and start lunging with punches and, you know, just make you feel really insecure. And that's what he's really doing. He's making you just feel like you don't belong in the cage with him. And I didn't let that happen.
And those, the thing, if you don't follow the UFC, you don't care about the fighting. The thing that he's talking about is Anderson Silva has been long said, people say about him all the time, including that night, that he's the best UFC fighter ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got that mystique. He's held the belt since 2000, what is it, six?
Sounds right.
Chris?
7 years.
Yeah, so he's the guy that's coming into the ring with you, and he started clowning you, and you caught him, and he sort of acted like he was, oh, I might fall, and then you knocked him the F out. And
yeah.
did you let it get to you? I saw in the post-interview they talked to you about planning because you knew he would clown you, so you had somebody come to camp and kind of try to get under your skin, but it still seemed like you were upset. Did you let it get to you?
I did let it get to me. I've never been emotional in a fight. I've never really really wanted to hit somebody that bad. Just I didn't expect him to do it as much as he was doing it against me, but it was part of his game plan, and but it didn't work out for him. You know, I just, I got angry. I wanted to hit him bad, and I was going to throw as many punches as I needed to throw to connect and put him down. And
you
pay for that.
You missed with, I think, not missed, but didn't hit solidly with three punches. And then that left that kind of knocked him out. His eyes went up in the back of his head with that one left. It didn't look like a great, strong punch. Did it have a lot more in it than it looked like?
You know, I think I punch hard, but no, it wasn't definitely not one of my hardest punches ever threw. It was more just a connection. You know, I landed right on his jaw. His chin was up in the air. You can't have your chin up in the air and expect to have a good chin. And it just landed right, you know, and that's what it's more about placement and timing than really power.
Talking to the new UFC middleweight champion, Chris All-American Weidman, about his fight with Anderson Silva. And, man, I got to tell you, when you hit him, did you notice that his eyes kind of rolled up and he was pretty much out from that second on?
I knew he dropped, that's for sure. At the time, I wasn't really focusing on his highs. I was just, you know, in a panic to finish the fight and make sure I win. So I'll just jump right on top of him and try to finish it.
Could you tell when he was on his back that you were just literally just stapling his head to the floor with your punches? I mean, they were landing. I mean, at that point, yeah. Did you feel like, yes, I've got him?
You know, you have your adrenaline rushing, and you just want to win. So you just keep going. You're just taut. You just keep going until the referee pulls you off. And, you know, you don't want to hurt the guy or anything like that. But you're not sure if he's 100% out or not at the time because, you know, you're in the moment. You know?
Right.
You just look. Your focus is on your techniques. Your you know, just punching hard and finishing the fight. So.
I can't even tell you how many times I thought a fighter is out and comes back. You know, you think,
this guy,
there's no way this guy's going to get out of this. And then somehow he gets his wits about him and he comes back. So you just wanted to make sure that you finished it for good.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to win the fight.
Now, does it annoy you that a lot of people are saying he only lost the fight because he was clowning too much and he didn't take it seriously? Does that annoy you as a fighter?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody was watching him fight for the first time, they could say that. But this is how he fights. He wouldn't be who he is. He wouldn't be. He wouldn't have the devastating knockouts he has in the past without doing that. He's clown guys to the point where they just feel like they don't belong in there. He mentally defeats them. Then he just hits them with a tricky shot out of nowhere, and they fall and get knocked out. If he was able to knock me out after clowning me like that, it would have been another Anderson Silva victory, but I didn't let that happen.
Were you really, really conscious of that, knowing, of course it got to you that he was clowning you, but you knew he was trying to draw you in so that he could end the fight?
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew he was going to start trying to pick me apart, first, obviously, mentally by taunting me, and then physically. But I thought I had the tools to stop that, and I did.
What about when Joe Rogan asked him after the fight if he wanted a rematch, and he said no? What was that about?
And he just got, you know, he just got knocked out. So his bell's rung. He hasn't lost in 7 years. It's a surreal moment for him, I'm sure, as well. And so he asked guys questions about things. They're not really thinking straight. So the rematch is happening.
I've seen a lot of guessing on the dates. At first, it was the end of the year. Now people are talking about Super Bowl weekend. Do you have any definitive answer?
Yeah, I'm on the same page as all them. Yeah, it's either the end of the year, late December card, which is in Vegas, or the Super Bowl weekend card.
Oh, so it's one of those two. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I was told, and who knows if it changes. I guess it all depends.
Are you walking around all the time, 24/7, with the UFC middleweight belt on your body, as I would?
I have it on my shoulder. I don't have it around the waist, but I have it on my shoulder. I'm doing a lot of PR, and sure. Everybody wants to take pictures with it, so it's with me. It's an extra 30 pounds I'm carrying around.
Do you think that when you have another fight with Anderson Silva, you can beat him again?
Do I what?
Do you think when you fight him again, you can beat him again?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I think it's going to be even more of a solider victory.
How could it be more of a solid victory? You knocked his head off.
I just think in people's eyes it will be, because if you do it twice, there's no more talking. You know,
it's, yeah.
I'm better. Right now, people, which I expected before I took this fight, I said, after I beat him in this fight, we're going to have an instant rematch.
Right.
And that's what we're having. And I knew he has such a mystique about him. People just think he's unbeatable. And now it's going to be all Chris Cordham. But we'll fight again, and it's going to be fun to show everybody that, no, I didn't just catch him.
So you sort of feel like you got to beat him twice to knock that mystique down a bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's known as, like, the greatest of all time.
Right.
So I have no problem with that. He's earned that, and I just got to go out there and do my thing.
Well, you knocked out the greatest of all time. It was unbelievable. I jumped up off my couch. I was so excited because I hate when he taunts people like that. Yeah. And when you took him out, I was like, no way! Jumping up and down, running around. I'm very excited for you, Chris. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. So we'll find out soon whether you're going to be December, I think it's 28th, or Super Bowl weekend, and it'll be the rematch with Anderson Silva, which Dana White calls the biggest UFC fight of all time. I can't wait. Good luck. I hope you win again. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Shut the fridge up, pardon the French, but now you can order food delivery online. Want the flippin' details? Well, go to seamless.com and use code radio at checkout to get $5 off your first order. Shh.
Shut up.
Over $12. Son of a biscuit, that's a sweet.
Come on, Lisa. I'm on your side.
Let me finish.
You can't say son of a biscuit and then say let me finish.
And it's free to use. Seamless.com, local restaurants delivered. I'm Lisa May.
Unbelievable.
With K-Rock Traffic.
Wow!
I was on your side. I was telling Kevin to shut up until you gave me son of a biscuit. Then I couldn't help you.
Read that whole tag again.
The whole commercial
tag.
Yeah, give him a makeup.
The bad part.
It started with shut the fridge up.
And then the end is son of a biscuit. That's a sweet deal.
Do you think that somebody right now is just laughing going, she said it.
Want the flipping details?
We made her say it and she said it.
You want the flipping details, Kevin, or not?
They're effing with her. Somebody's effing with
I'm pretty
Lisa.
Sure
Sell
that's
your
true.
Sausage someplace else, mister. I don't want to hear it.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. And then comedian Bob Saget.
I'm just, I hope he's funny. I hope Bob's funny.
He's always funny.
Because I could use a pick-me-up because I'm feeling a little sad.
Feeling a little sad.
I just found out that America's not number one anymore. We're not the number one nation anymore.
What are you talking about? We're number one.
No. We're always number one.
No.
Ask Neil Diamond.
Not when it comes, maybe in freedom, according
Where's
to Neil.
Where's the outrage there?
But not when it comes to the fattest country in the world. We used to be number one. We owned it.
We lost our title?
Yeah. Now we're number two.
Oh.
You know, beat us?
Who?
Freaking Mexico.
Mexico's the fattest country.
Once again, now the Mexicans stolen something else from us besides our jobs
and
our women.
We got to get our belt back.
I know.
We can't. This cannot stand.
You know what I blame? All those damn weight loss shows. Biggest Loser and all those shows. They're whittling away our championship-level fat people. They're just whittling them down to nothingness. How am I supposed to defend against that?
Hey, Mexico! What the hell are you doing? Will some country that speaks Spanish yell at Mexico, please? They're going to ruin everything.
That's right. Now they're number one. They're the most fat.
We've got to fatten up.
We
got to
bring it back. Oh, but they got all that good fattening food. They got the burritos and stuff and everything. What do we have? Okay. We don't have any fattening foods here in America.
That's true.
Oh, wait a minute. Gotta hit a drive-thru today, people. Do what's right for the country. Do what's right for America and hit the drive-thru today on the way
Some
home.
Some things are bigger than your own personal
health. You drive through those goddamn golden arches and you get the 40-piece McNuggets. They have a 40-piece McNugget order.
And eat all of them.
And get extra dipping. Get the Vat-O sauce, the Vat-O dipping sauce.
Why Fantastic. Are you bad, America?
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Justin Bieber is a pig. He's an obnoxious little pig.
Oh,
I feel like Alec Baldwin. You're a thoughtless little pig. New video on TMZ today shows him exiting a nightclub through the kitchen. They were kind enough to take him through the kitchen so he wouldn't have to deal with the paparazzi and all the fans and stuff out front, right? So they're walking through a kitchen. He decides he's going to take a leak, so he whips it out and goes into the yellow mop bucket that the janitor there uses to clean the restaurant.
He's crazy, that Justin Bieber.
And he's laughing about it like, hey, this is what I get to do because I'm Justin Bieber.
Nobody can stop me.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Yes, you are, Justin Bieber. Then, for some reason, he takes some cleaning liquid and starts spraying it on a framed photo of Bill Clinton, saying, F Bill Clinton.
What does he have against Bill Clinton?
I have no idea.
What does he even know of Bill Clinton?
I don't know. Something has to be done. He's got to be stopped.
SEAL Team 6?
Bieber's got to be finished. Yeah, we need to end him.
Murder.
And while we're ending people, this Farrah Abraham, this backdoor teen mom.
Farrah Abramson?
No, Abraham. She had that DUI, remember? And she made a deal saying that she had to go to therapy and to go to rehab.
Right.
Dry out, clean up as part of her plea bargain. Well, she's been kicked out of her rehab. She was just 48 hours before the end of her 10-day stint. But they gave her walking papers because she was too obnoxious for rehab. You ever seen people behave how they behave in a rehab? You ever watch
yes.
Dr. Drew's rehab?
Yeah, they're the worst.
They're the worst people in the world because they're all detoxing and losing their minds and crawling out of their skin.
Yep.
She was too obnoxious for rehab. Apparently, she broke one of the cardinal rules. Tanning mom is also in the same rehab facility.
Okay.
And so teen mom tried to take pictures of tan mom during the therapy. Which is a no-no, because you need your privacy if you're going to do this right.
Supposed to be anonymous.
She bullied other patients and counselors, according to insiders, and even invited paparazzi to take photos of her at the center. She invited a guy into the center, a photographer into the center, a paparazzo, to take her photos while she was in the center. And the rehab's like, hey!
About that.
You can't read it. No, sir. Can you please leave? And you too, backdoor teen mom.
Wow.
Don't let the door hit you where James Dean split you. That's what they said to her.
She good was slogan. Going,
yeah, I think it is. So she's got to find a new rehab facility, I'm guessing. She's the backdoor teen mom.
She is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Sofia Vergara is 41 years old today. Boy, she's reason enough to watch that Modern Family.
Agreed.
It's a good deal right there. Adrian Grenier. From Entourage, hey, our buddy Bob Saget was a recurring character on Entourage.
That's right.
Remember, he used to play Bob Saget on that show.
That's right.
The kid's got range.
The Saget Bob
kid,
Saget.
He's got range. He can play. He can go from Saget all the way to Saget. He's 37 years old.
He's not
today.
Helping us with the fat problem, though.
No, skinny bastard.
He needs to bulk up.
Load up. Just start eating. Jessica Simpson's 33 years old. She's helping us. Jessica
she
Simpson,
is.
She's on our side.
I got screamed at for using the bell for Jessica. I gave her a tepid one.
That
for...
was a that was an echo of a bell from a long time
it
ago.
It was, That's, yeah.
You're not hearing a bell that Kevin just gave.
Right.
That's a bell from like 10 years ago that just is just echoing through the canyons.
Made its way around the universe and came back.
And Thomas Ian Nicholas is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget.
You love the damn Full House, right? I did so much family television, I have Tourette's now. You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. My dad's like, if your mom and I are having sex and we videotape it and she falls out of bed funny, can I win $10,000? The Backstreet Boys, they're f***ing awesome. And they are back and they are street and they are boys and they are men. And they rock my f***ing world. Actually, name dropping is bullshit. It really is. Quentin Tarantino told me that. He said, name dropping is bullshit. And I said, you're f***ing right, Quentin. And we were up all night and Tribeca was off the hizzle.
Bob Saget, Bob Saget, Bob Saget, Full House.
Marijuana's not a drug. I used to for coke.
Saget, you rock. You for coke.
All right, thanks for coming.
Wow.
Take care. I'll see you guys later.
We need to whittle that down.
20-minute intro package.
That's everything Saget's ever done.
That's the best thing I've ever done is your intro of me.
How have you been, Bob?
I'm really good. I could not be better.
You were telling us on your way in that you found our show imminently entertaining.
I was imminent, Ted. I
loved riveted. It. You said you're riveted.
I was riveted. Actually, one of my gene things got caught in my upholstery. It's a fantastic show.
It is.
Well, I can't get any of the shows is the problem. My dial broke, so.
Oh,
this
I see.
Is it. Your show is
stuck with it.
So listenable. Mm-hmm. No, I was concerned about Bean because he's not here.
Right.
But he's not there anyway.
Right.
So my whole thing about him was, did he just go into another room? Is
probably.
It possible you don't know where he is?
That's what he does on vacation, just not go
into. It's like Waldo in his house.
There's no
Carmen Santiago in his house.
There's really no way to tell. He doesn't really share.
No, he's.
We don't ask.
Does this get any louder, this thing? I think I'm getting older because you haven't changed the volume on here, right?
Do you want me to turn it up?
Turn your headphones
up. Oh, that's.
Up there.
Oh,
maybe
it's where
you.
It was last time.
There you go.
Now, this
is
doesn't
better?
Change for the people. This is so much better.
Yeah, it's just in your headphones, sir.
So can I take these home when I leave?
Sure, absolutely.
Bob, you've been on the show just 30 times.
I know. Two times ago, you told me not to come back. You said, don't come back. You said, can you not come back for a year?
Yeah. I forgot about that. We might have to reinstate that.
Lisa May's so nice. She doesn't even fit in here almost. Not that you're not nice, Kevin, because
you
really are. No, I mean it. You're nice. I've always wanted to go to lunch with you, but you're always not available.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Bob. Let me just tell you a little story about Bob Saget.
The truth.
Hey, we should go to lunch sometime. All right, great.
No, I don't say it like
here's
that.
Here's my phone. All right, great. Yeah. Now I don't hear anything. And
he doesn't mean it.
Yeah, then he comes in and he goes, yeah, we were going to go to lunch. And I'm like, yeah, but you never called or emailed or anything.
That's how you hear this whole thing?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're the hurt person in a Holden Caulfield
book. No, I mean,
book.
I don't care that we don't go to lunch, but stop promising it to me.
Wow.
Well, this is going to happen. Our obligation, apparently, from listening is that we have to make the country fatter.
That's correct.
Right. So we'll go somewhere where there's just fat.
Just eat lard.
There's a place on. We can just go to a lard store and just at Home Depot and eat that caulking stuff. Then you don't poop and then you get heavy. If you ate caulk, you'd seal your butt completely.
If you ate
clothes.
What?
Caulk.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's an L in there, I
Come
think.
Come on. I'm on K Rock. I know what I'm doing. I just remembered how many times I've done this show.
But there's something else you've been eating.
Right. So if you're going to, like, Tim Allen kind of thing, Home Improvement.
Okay.
Right. If you ate a lot of it, and it would seal you from the inside.
And you're sealed with caulk.
Seal you up
at both ends. At both ends. You'd be sealed at both ends.
Not at both ends. Well, not if you're able to swallow it, because moisture loosens up the.
You got caulk going in your mouth.
The caulk is looser.
Sealed up from
caulk. Would you guys mind saying caulk? Let's try to put the
I got a commercial
there.
For the product. It would be that song, Seal Me Up Before You Go-Go. Was that Wham?
Yes, that was Wham.
See, Wham would fit in
nice
with this campaign.
Nice, timely reference, by the way.
Like, right.
More Wham jokes, please.
I don't even want to do a commercial unless it's only for caulk. That's hard. Macaulay Culkin had caulk in his name.
Yeah.
But I have SAG in my name, so that's just
point.
That's something wrong.
Yeah, that's not as good.
I should get a lift. People used to make fun of my name. What do they say about you?
They make fun of my appearance, not my name.
His giant head.
You know what, though? I have
Your
noticed.
Head doesn't look that big.
It's big.
How big would you say? Could you bowl with it?
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
Here's the thing. Every time I take a picture with somebody, then you look at the picture and you go, look at my goddamn head.
Yeah.
And
in comparison to other heads, it looks particularly big.
And it's not, it's not an attractive head. So big is bad.
There is no such thing as an unattractive head.
If John Stamos...
He's got a beautiful head.
Beautiful head. Right. If his head was bigger, it'd be better.
Well,
but if your head starts
his
off...
His head is actually retaining yogurt now. It's large.
If your head starts off at a 3 and then it gets bigger, it goes to a 2.
I have a tiny head.
You do have a tiny head.
Right, I'm just going to...
I have tiny head envy.
Everything's filthier in my mind. I don't mean to be dirty.
No.
You got some new equipment in here. Something's new. Or maybe you just change your screensavers.
What is wrong with you?
I don't
know.
You're
lots
taking
wrong with me.
Now you're taking stock of the.
I understand that it's
equipment.
You're not number one anymore. I thought you were talking about the station. I got really upset. I was in the lobby going, where should I be? What's bigger, podcasts?
No,
people make podcasts no matter where I go. I'm in a restaurant. There's a podcast being recorded.
There are millions.
Yeah,
there are millions.
I'm surprised you don't have a podcast. Do you?
I don't want to. I've got too much to do. Like I can't just do a podcast.
How many people have asked you to be on their your podcast?
A bunch of them, and I've done a bunch of them, and some of them are great, and they're nice
people.
And
then who are the other people?
People that you go, why did I do that podcast?
Right, who's that?
Give me some names. I can't trash
it. Give me a name.
No, there's all the same people. And there's some things you just end up, even television at night. I'm on Fallon next week to promote this whole thing I'm doing, you know, because I'm basically selling children, black market.
Okay.
I didn't know if I told you that. That's what I'm here to sell.
I didn't understand.
I can get babies anywhere, any price for anybody.
Really?
Any kind of baby you want, I can get it. And that's what I'm
saying. Any flavor? Any flavor at all?
It was hey, come on. We're talking about my kids.
You know,
and I give them love because you could talk, you know, I was going to talk about the DVD and CD that come out, right. But then I realized that is just selling a product of me right. doing stand up.
I have CD, DVD coming out and live shows this weekend at the Irvine Improv.
Yeah, the Irvine
Those
Improv.
Those were too. My, that's what I understood.
Right, but
sell.
I'm selling babies right okay. here.
But if we go to the Irvine Improv this weekend to see your show, can we buy babies after the show?
No, there's t-shirts. I don't like to mix business well, with babies.
Your day job.
Yeah, I mean, comedy's making people laugh. Babies do make people laugh, but they do it in the real way. Okay. And I get them, and there's no legal problems. There's no papers. You don't
How
know where
exactly
they came
is
from.
That, we need to take a break and come back.
And shots and everything?
Really? Well, I
delve into your baby.
I know some real smart people, and I have a lab. So there's not even any.
Are they clones? Is that what you're telling me?
Kind of. They're not. It's not a regular baby.
It's not a regular baby.
So it's not.
Sign me up.
It's not made from.
You know how to sell it.
It's not made from the materials or DNA of actual babies. We're not cloning them. No.
Okay.
But they're kind of like clones, but they're not full on babies. But they're delightful.
They're baby-esque.
And that's the business I wanted to come on because I didn't want to just plug arbitrarily.
No.
Okay.
Gigs or CDs or
Bob Saget
DVDs.
Partial babies you can buy now.
They're very, very smart. It's kind of like the, you know how Brad Pitt at the end of Benjamin Button, how smart he was and thoughtful, mm-hmm. even though he's very, very old?
Right.
They're kind of like that, but their skin is smoother. They don't get wrinkly at all.
They never age?
Well, eventually. I mean, we want them to have some kind of life. You know,
what a shelf could, life on them?
Kind of like the new Twinkie. We want it to be around.
Yeah, sure.
But
all right, we need to take a break.
I'll tell you who. I'll
try to get our heads around this.
Yeah, and you got to find out. Your head will never get around.
That's true.
That's true.
I'll let you run your show. I'm just going to sit here.
That's all right.
No, your head is not that big to me. Maybe it's because you're far away from me.
It could be. Yeah.
In fact, that's what's different here. You've never been this far from me.
The moon doesn't look that far away when you look in the sky. You say that's not a big thing. And it's only this big. I can put my fingers around it.
Actually, Kevin's head looks bigger than the moon.
See,
I want to jump over your head tonight.
Bob Saget is here.
Looking for a baby? Bob Saget is your man.
I got them. I sell them. They're healthy.
He
they're,
stocks
them
deep and sells them cheap.
That's right.
How he moves them. Bob, to turnover.
I do
volume.
It with love. And your mattress is free.
Bob does not want to say this, but he does have a CD and a DVD download next Tuesday called That's What I'm Talking About. And he also has 5 shows at Irvine, at the Irvine Improv this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you'd like to go to that. But he's promoting free babies.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry.
Not
free babies.
I misspoke. How much
it's also on, I think it's on Amazon, too, so you can buy hard copies of this DVD.
Okay.
And if I'm not putting
this is your Showtime special, right?
This is a Showtime special, yes.
Very funny, very funny show.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
Thanks very much.
I didn't like it very much.
I like you very much. Want a baby?
Now the baby.
Right.
Yeah. Your baby dating.
What's the average go for?
It depends on what the income of the family is.
Okay.
So if you're a poor family. We're trying to just help people.
All right. Sure. So if you're a poor family, then it doesn't cost you much.
No, you can get a baby for a dollar.
A dollar? What kind of baby can you get for a dollar?
Out of the dollar baby store?
What kind of baby do you want? I mean, do you want, just a happy baby?
Well, yeah, I think everybody would want a happy baby.
I mean, what if I want a smart baby? I can't get a smart baby for $1. Right?
$2.
That's more.
That's a premium.
Then you don't want a colicky baby. I have three daughters, and one of them cried a lot when she was born. And that's what made me think about one day just selling babies.
Now, are these real babies?
Kind of.
What does kind of mean? That's really a yes or no question.
Don't you have questions to ask me about other stuff and we can get back to this baby thing? I feel like I don't want to dig a hole for someone that I love so much and I put my heart into. You know, these are smart, healthy, caring babies.
Sort of alive babies.
Of course they're alive.
Okay, they're very alive.
I can't
say
my source because that would ruin the greatness that we're putting out on the earth.
Are you getting them for free? How do you sell them for so cheap?
Oh, nothing good is free.
Right.
No, I barter.
What do you have to give up for, say, a really smart kid?
Well,
what do you barter?
Yeah, well, I had a desk in my office that I really liked, and I decided to go and get a new one.
Was it a roll top?
Nope. Kind of, modern, you know, craftsman type thing. And I said, that's a really cool baby. And I said, what does that baby go for? Because that could really make a family happy.
Yeah.
And he said, I like that desk. Yeah. I said, well, you know, it's got a little problem with the hinge and stuff. But he was cool with it.
The baby had a problem with a hinge?
No, the baby was a baby. No, let's not be crazy.
Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah, don't be silly. So we made that trade. And the baby is now in a room where a desk was. It just lays there on the floor.
Well, that doesn't sound like much quality of life.
But I got a taker for the baby, my neighbor.
I see. So you have a plate? You have a placement?
A plate?
A placement?
I do.
You can place the baby someplace?
Yeah, and then you pick out the schools and everything, because it's LA, you got to move quick.
Right.
Know? And if you're not in a good school district, you got to pick private school. So that's what we're working on next. Maybe we should talk about the DVD.
I would much rather talk about your baby.
Let's talk about Bonnaroo.
That was fun.
Put the babies aside for a second.
All right.
You performed at the Bonnaroo Festival.
I just realized I left three babies in the house. And I
there's
came here this
in the
morning.
Car, though, right?
Well, they're in the room where the desk was, so there's really nowhere for them to go. Oh, but right. If they have to go, they're diapered and everything.
All right. Well, you'll probably be fine if you go right home.
I had other plans, though. I was going to stop.
I was going to have lunch with somebody.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not you.
It turns out every piece of
odd
information that I've ever given Bob Saget has been false.
I've never seen an area code with the infinity sign in it. No. Omega.
All right, you.
It's roaming.
Epsilon.
It's a roaming data charge.
You played Bonnaroo.
I did. I had a very good time.
That is not a comedy festival.
Yeah. No, but they do their comedy thing. They had a bunch of good people.
David Cross. What do they have? A tent?
It's a big comedy tent. It's a circus tent. They had Daniel Tosh and David Cross did a show.
Wow,
and
that's cool.
So it was really cool, and it's very loud. So it sounds like a jet engine just to keep it air conditioned. They pride themselves on the fact that it's an air conditioned tent, but it's like it's so loud you feel like you're in a jet engine. And it looks like Dumbo's going to come flying around it.
And who are the people that come in? Are they just kids that want air conditioning?
Yeah, they're people that want pretty much. Cool. They pick their specific comedians that they love, and these guys wait in their line for hours to come see me, and they bought the tickets like months ahead of time. And then, there's a big thing Bonnaroo this year. They had Paul McCartney, and we went and saw Tom Petty later. And John Stamos made a surprise and left that on stage at the end of the same way when I did your
April Foolishness
and came out at the end of that silly parody I do of the Backstreet Boys. I Want It That Way to Danny Tanner Was Not Gay. It's so exhausting just to explain to someone. What does he do with you? I don't know. We kiss. We do scenes from the vagina monologues. But then my daughters were at that show. And it was very interesting.
Well, that's got to be a little weird.
It was a little bit like bringing a sandcastle to the beach, you know. But the girls that are in the audience are screaming and flashing their stuff at me.
Right.
And that throws me because my kids are there. So
that's weird for them, too.
And it's weird. It really confused my penis. I didn't know what was happening. I mean, I didn't know I had one for a while.
On one hand,
And then on my other hand.
Stamos's penis, so what are you going to do there?
That was Stamos's penis. Yeah, right. On my other hand, that's Greek to me. Yeah. But then I looked over in the audience, some lady said, I want to have sex with you. And I said, I can't. I'm not Inspector Gadget or Clutch Cargo or not Clutch Cargo. Who's the other guy? Stretch Armstrong. That would be the other guy that could make his penis go 75 feet into an audience member's eye.
Right. So that's happening while your daughters are there.
Yes, which is unbelievable because my penis had never done that before. And then I looked over at some lascivious other lady that was screaming stuff out like a pirate, like some sea woman from Angry Birds. And she was like, I love you, Bobby. You know, I was like, wow, get a ship. And then I looked over and saw my two daughters, and they're smiling at me like, I love you,
Dad.
Proud of Dad, because they've seen me do this a lot. So it's just for me.
Look, skanky hoes want to have sex with my dad. I'm
pirate.
So proud.
That pirate chick over there likes my dad.
Look at that herpes-infested tattooed girl over there. She really wants my dad. I'm so proud
of
him.
Our dad can be so infected around his mouth and loins. And our dad has the mentality of a 12-year-old at best.
But they know that.
But that's true.
That girl on methadone really wants to have sex with him.
Well, I could help her. I could get her on a schedule. But then I made eye contact with my daughters, and then I said to them, then I looked straight ahead, and I was scared to death because it actually was a real moment. And I said, I can't tell you guys what's going on right now. And someone yelled, tell us. And then somebody front looked like Mumford and Sons, and I'm like, you stop messing with my head, buddy. You get out of my head. And then he laughed and threw up in his beard. Nobody could tell because he was one of the fattest people in America.
Yeah, sure.
And but it was really actually pretty fun. It was very fun to have Stamos there and my daughters. Then we all went out afterward, and we just basically, the four of us hung out and got away from all the crazy people. I was afraid they were going to slingshot.
I'm sorry, you got away from the crazy people?
Yeah, they make special security to get me away from people that are much more mentally sound than me. Let's get Bob away. He's paranoid.
Let's get him away from people.
But I'm scared if you're in a venue like that. I mean, Coachella's like that. Anywhere's like that. But I'm afraid they're going to slingshot ecstasy into my mouth. You know, that someone's going to...
While you're doing a joke, it's going to be a perfect shot. Mouth,
yeah, and it'll just get in there. Next thing I know, I'm on acid. I'm tripping. I'm probably no different.
Probably the same.
Or just completely
comedy's
together.
The same.
Maybe
I think
normal.
That's a legitimate fear. Ecstasy snipers. No, I think that's a thing you should really would be worried about, Bob. It's a smart move.
You don't
on
think
your
that's
part.
Possible? No, I could be on stage and someone could throw ecstasy into my mouth.
No, I don't think that's possible.
I will tell you this on that topic. Psycho Mike, you know, from Loveline.
Yep.
He has been sober for quite some time, and he's in a band. And we went to see him in a nightclub, the Roxy or someplace like that. And he was playing, and he's been sober for what? 10 years? 12?
Better than that.
12, 15 years. Yeah. So we started throwing newspaper at him, and then we wadded it up, and then we got it wet with alcohol.
Well, yeah. There you go. That you're making blotter acid.
Right. So then I threw it.
We would douse it with vodka and then throw it at him,
and it hit him right in the mouth. And I thought, what a way to lose your sobriety if I actually threw alcohol into his mouth.
Yeah.
So it can happen, Bob.
You're right.
It could, Ralph's right. The
what
sniper
if someone,
can happen.
And not only that, what if you've had a hemorrhoid removed? Stay with me on this.
I think we're going to take a break on that note.
You can.
Have you eaten the cock at this point, and are you sealed
wait,
up?
Wait. Cock. C-A-U-L-K. Yeah. It's available at Home Depot.
I'm from Philadelphia. I've got a strange accent.
I'm
out
just
weird.
Trying to save you from staying off the air.
Bob, I'm not sure even though I really should be talking to you. Because
what's the problem?
Well, there's been a lot in the press made of this recently, and I am Team Topanga, and I know you and Danielle Fishel.
Well.
You and Danielle Fishel had a little falling out because she called you on your drug abusing perverted ways.
That is not that's and, a good setup to get people to listen.
And then you came at her, and there was a big fight. And we've had Danielle on the show; she's lovely and she's
is.
Talented.
And that's
she's
not what happened. You know what? If you keep
and
this up, I'm not giving you a baby.
You were rude to her and her family.
No,
and
the whole family.
Called her I did a liar, one... and it was just no. You did horrible things
How
to
you...
her. I heard you sold her a baby, and the
is
baby
Harvey,
was faulty.
Is Harvey Levin making you offers at this point? What's going on around here? This is K-Rock.
There was a big news story. It was Saget versus Fishel. There was a big.
Is Rodney on the Rock just in a closet in the back? No one lets him out.
Pretty much.
It's over.
You and Topanga, we're going
at
it.
She's a great, great actress, lady,
yes.
person.
Then why were you fighting with her?
Well, it wasn't a fight.
And her
you guys
family.
Are very good at your career.
Why did you ask her for drugs in front of her parents?
Didn't
That's
do
what
that.
I
Why did you give her a faulty baby?
Okay, man, all the babies are working.
No, Ralph just said you gave her a faulty baby.
No, the baby was perfect. It's pristine. It's cherry.
Okay.
You guys were like on the ABC family jet or something back in the day.
May
right?
I speak?
I would love that.
All right.
Defend yourself if you can, Bob Saget.
Because we are on her side.
We are Team Topanga.
Oh, you're on her side.
Yes.
I'm on her side.
By far. Okay.
Here's what happened. Right. Here's what happened. Like, I have to remember it. I was on a... At that time, MGM had an airline. It was a long time ago. It was like 20 years ago. So they put ABC stars on a plane from L.A. to New York. And so it was a lot of kid actors with older family show actors. And
so
there
she was doing Boy Meets World, right, at the time?
Yeah. And I was doing Full House, which is, to say on the air, sounds like saying I have a strep infection. So I walked across to go to the restroom, and there was a curtain you just open. And I shouldn't have said this. It was me being a wise guy. It's not a nice thing to say. I opened – this is 25 years ago, I think. I was when Full House was 20 years ago.
She's a little girl with her kid, with her parents.
Well, she's 14.
With her parents.
That's what I told the judge. And, I think her brother and her mom and dad, who were nice. I remember them.
Okay.
And I opened the – in fact, her mom and I – whoops. And then I – oh, I'm supposed to make this better.
You gave her a baby, too. I understand.
Oh, that's so different. And then I opened the curtain, and I just looked at the dad – as a joke, just the dad locked eyes with him and said, anybody have any coke in here? And then I closed the curtains. And basically, it was a sarcastic kind of, you know, I don't know. Cynicism doesn't travel, but it was a joke of saying we've got little kids in show business. Right. We're on a plane.
It was funny because it was inappropriate.
That's
that was
what I
humor.
Thought. So and it went
was he
away.
Offended?
Then it went away. I believe we laughed and we laughed. You know, and sure. Everybody was so thrilled. Right. And then just like a half a year ago, she was on Maxim magazine. She looked very lovely.
Yes, she did.
She was vacuuming in it. She looked good.
Yes. Nobody's ever looked better vacuuming
on the phone.
I believe so, and I like what the machine does. And I'm very deprived right now. But she was said something about that I did that, but there was no disclaimer leading up to it. It sounded like I was making nasty, like, drug, smarmy comments.
Like right. You asked her for Coke when she was a kid.
Yeah, or
it sounded
or
like
parents.
You were genuinely hungry for Coke on that plane.
It did sound like I needed my Coke.
Right. Yes.
I was not
from anywhere.
I did not like it. It was way past my bedtime for that, and I didn't even subscribe at the time. Years earlier, but but anyway, but you know, I felt bad about it, but there was no.
So she
apology.
Told the story 20 years later that you
right.
came
and,
in
and
looking
the
for
story
Coke?
Was out of context, and I didn't care. Somebody sent it to me, and that guy, Huffington Post, said, "Do you want to rebuttal her story because it does put you in a shady light?" And I'm like, "No, it's just they didn't finish the thing." I realized that.
That's where you live, and by then the way, is in the shady light.
I do like it under there. Well, yeah. My son and the freckles. Yeah. So what happened is about a couple months later, I started to this thing went on Showtime that's now a special on DVD coming out July 16th. Get a baby.
that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. And I was doing five. You know how you do radio junkets, and you don't have people do 5 minutes here and there, but sometimes you'll get somebody.
Oh, we do sometimes.
You'll
yeah.
do. You'll get. Yeah, you yeah. know, we have Tom Cruise for you for 5 minutes. Okay, mm-hmm. We'll take it. And then
it's weird times, like 8:43 to 8:48.
And those are the junkets. So I was on them one morning from like 5 a.m. to like 9 a.m. And they were done, and then I had an interview with Maxim.com. And so I talked to this guy, and I was, like, riffing. I was, like, doing roast kind of comedy. And there's no excuse for it except I was adolescent in behavior. This is like, months ago.
Again. Which is your whole life.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I did.
Don't
I
people
just,
know
I
that
said,
about you?
Yeah, well, no, apparently not. But I said some things I shouldn't have said.
Okay.
Which weren't that bad. I don't remember all of them. I'm sure you guys have memorized them. But they were derogatory.
I have the paperwork right here, Bob Saget.
Did you in fact fill say? That out?
No, but it was just like, it was a little misogynistic and a little bit of, how did you respond to her comments? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what I said. Boy right. meets Chester. I don't know. Something not good.
Right.
And I felt bad. And then when I read it, my publicist contacted me. It's a beautiful showbiz story.
Yeah.
So I noticed, I started following her online. And we direct message each other. And I said, I'm so sorry I'm a cad. I don't think I said cad because it was 1922. But I said, I feel really bad that I did that. I hope I didn't offend you. She said, I felt bad. I never got to explain my disclaimer for the story that came out months before. And I said, well, now we're besties or whatever you say when you're texting.
We're chesties.
Hey. And she couldn't have been more charming. And we still follow each other until the end of time, until Twitter is destroyed. Destroyed. Close the curtains. And basically, it was a sarcastic kind of, you know, I don't know. Cynicism doesn't travel, but it was a joke of saying we've got little kids in show business. Right. We're on a plane.
It was funny because it was inappropriate.
That's
was
what I thought.
Humor.
So and it went
was he
away.
Offended?
Then it went away. I believe we laughed and we laughed. You know, and sure. Everybody was so thrilled. Right. And then just like a half a year ago, she was on Maxim magazine. She looked very lovely.
Yes, she did.
She was vacuuming in it. She looked good.
Yes. Nobody's ever looked better vacuuming
on the phone.
I believe so, and I like what the machine does. And I'm very deprived right now. But she was said something about that I did that, but there was no disclaimer leading up to it. It sounded like I was making nasty,
like,
drug, smarmy comments.
Like right. You asked her for Coke when she was a kid.
Yeah, or
it sounded
or
like
parents.
You were genuinely hungry for Coke on that plane.
it did sound like I needed my Coke.
Right. Yes.
I was not
from anywhere.
I did not like it. It was way past my bedtime for that, and I didn't even subscribe at the time. Years earlier, but anyway, but you know, I felt bad about it, but there was no.
So she
apology.
Told the story 20 years later that you
right.
came
and,
in looking
and the
for
story
Coke?
Was out of context, and I didn't care. Somebody sent it to me, and that guy, Huffington Post, said, "Do you want to rebuttal her story because it does put you in a shady light?" And I'm like, "No, it's just they didn't finish the thing." I realized that.
That's where you live,
and
by
then
the way,
I,
is in the shady light.
I do like it under there. Well, yeah. My son and the freckles. Yeah. So what happened is about about a couple months later, I started to this thing went on Showtime that's now a special on DVD coming out July 16th. Get a baby.
And that's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. And I was doing five. You know how you do radio junkets, and you don't have people do 5 minutes here and there, but sometimes you'll get somebody.
Oh, we do sometimes.
You'll do. You'll get. Yeah, you know, we have Tom Cruise for you for 5 minutes. Okay, we'll take it. And then
it's weird times, like 8:43 to 8:48.
And those are the junkets. So I was on them one morning from like 5 a.m. to like 9 a.m. and they were done. And then I had an interview with Maxim.com, and so I talked to this guy, and I was like riffing. I was like doing roast kind of comedy. And there's no excuse for it except I was adolescent in behavior. This was like months ago.
Again. Just your whole life.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And I did.
Don't people know that about you?
Yeah. Well, no, apparently not. But I said some things I shouldn't have said.
Okay.
Which weren't that bad. I don't remember all of them. I'm sure you guys have memorized them. But they were derogatory.
I have the paperwork right here. Did you fill that out?
No, but it was just like it was a little misogynistic and a little bit of, how did you respond to her comments? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know what I said. Boy meets Chester. I don't know. Something not good.
Right.
And I felt bad. And then when I read it, my publicist contacted me. It's a beautiful showbiz story.
Yeah.
So I noticed, I started following her online. And we direct messaged each other, and I said, "I am so sorry that I'm a cad. I don't think I said cad because it was 1922. But I said I feel really bad that I did that. I hope I didn't offend you." She said, "I felt bad. I never got to explain my disclaimer for the story that came out months before." And I said, "Well, now we're besties or whatever you say when you're texting.
We're chesties.
Hey, and we she couldn't have been more charming. And we still follow each other until the end of time, until Twitter is." Destroyed.
So there is a lovely. You guys have come together,
and it happened in 9 minutes, which is not usual. The article came out, I still feel bad that came out because I don't think that way, but I did. I did vowel off at the mouth.
But you were just cracking.
But you do that all the time. I mean, you're talking about selling babies, and 10 years from now, somebody's going to go, "Hey, Bob, we read an interview where you said you were selling babies."
What happened to that? How often
does that happen to you? Where something you said
that they call me on.
Daily.
And it's a problem to say absurdist stuff.
Like you say your head is
gigantic.
Right.
Now, if someone came up to you, they would maybe take the sexual connotation of that. And that would
sell you, first of all. Then
you'd be very popular in the parking lot right here.
Yes.
I mean, to say on the air, let me go further with it.
I think Kevin's got
the biggest head.
Yes, I think we understand.
What I'm saying is, guys, we get it.
We get what you're saying, right?
We understand.
Right. And you could stand anywhere.
Right. No, we get it.
It's good. We got it.
West Hollywood.
But my question for you is, you must have to defend statements.
You like the Tenderloin area in San Francisco?
Statements that you made 20 years ago you don't remember saying at all.
No.
Must come back to haunt you all the time.
They do. I'm writing a book about it, which is processing, and I'm feeling guilt, ironically, for some of the things. I'm actually writing a chapter called Things I Shouldn't Have Done. And
how long is that chapter?
It's so damn long. It could be the name of anybody's book. It could be everybody's journal, really.
Haven't you been talking about this book for a couple of years now?
Well, it takes about a year. And it takes probably about a year to write one, so I'm still writing it.
And you can't read or write.
Right? No, I can do neither.
That's got to be a detriment.
He uses some of his babies for that. He teaches them.
Well, you guys are making light, but the front of the book cover, the title's in Braille, and then once you open it, inside is just a hidden compartment to put things.
Put the coke in, or
I actually have a very very small baby that we've got.
Did you keep it in there?
You know, it's very tiny. The scientists I'm working with are cutting edge. You know, they always tell you cutting edge research. It's the healthiest. There is no.
That's the biggest complaint about babies. They're just too big.
Well, sometimes people look at
why are these babies so huge?
That's what.
Can we just get a smaller
or big headed baby? Or they have so much beef on them because they're just genetically have a lot of good fat on them.
Right.
But they can't really move around. Then you worry about them for a little bit.
They shake it off. You want a leaner, smaller baby.
Well, this is a baby that's perfect and it fits in your book. And I'm not going to say who, but some lucky, and I'll sign them when the book comes out. And it's the babies are, everything's great about them. And they're not, you know, some people are concerned if your baby's too small.
Right.
This is a fully healthy
baby.
Full term, tiny.
Mini baby.
Tiny little thing, like a little leprechaun
like six
baby.
6 ounces.
Yeah. About that.
Yeah.
You could put it on the scale and you wouldn't know. It could stand next to you on the scale.
Right.
They stand right away also.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah. they're like, I gotta it's get like a Harry Potter thing. They're friends. They become your friends.
These are advancements in technology.
They don't
genetics.
Speak for a long time.
No.
They're quiet, but that I think that that's good because they're taking it in.
All right, Bob, you have to go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you say that every time, but then you invite me back, but you give me fake numbers on yourself.
You can. Bob had a Showtime special that came out May 10th. It's called That's What I'm Talking About, and you can get it on Tuesday. Everywhere.
Everywhere. In CD or DVD, they tell me. And Viewmaster and microfiche.
Viewmaster.
And even
microfiche.
And miniature babies are reciting it as spoken word on different corners.
And you can see Bob talk about his mini babies that he's selling this Friday for two shows, this Saturday for two shows, and Sunday night at the Irvine Improv.
Can you come to that? It's fun there.
No.
Why not?
Wow.
What do you got to do?
I have
bring your wife.
I have plans this weekend.
I'll get her liquored up and keep her in the back.
I have plans this weekend.
Yeah. Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to get some?
Well,
he's
hopefully.
Afraid he'll come home with a baby.
Right.
So he's not going.
Yeah, okay. Right. I've got one in the car.
In the glove compartment?
I would never do that.
No,
it's strapped in the back, in the way back.
A tiny little seat.
Tiny. It's tiny inside a seat. Belt. It's a seat within a
it's
seat.
It's in a cup holder, basically.
Wake up, it's Smoked Sausage O'Clock, introducing the Hillshire Farm Smoked Sausage Egg and Cheese Biscuit. It's smoked sausage, fluffy egg, and melted cheese all piled on top of a freshly baked, made-from-scratch buttermilk biscuit, only at Carl's Jr. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock.
Thank you, Lisa.
Is there nothing you won't say?
I was really trying not to laugh.
In the final analysis, can they make you just say anything?
Yes, I'm a puppet.
You are.
And they can make me say anything.
You're a puppet. They put their hands right up your butt,
yes,
and they just work you and
true.
Make you say,
that's why
wake
I
up,
work
it's
here.
Sausage o'clock.
It's sausage
for the
o'clock.
Experience.
It's sausage o'clock.
I've been saying for years, there's got to be writers someplace going, she said it.
They got to bet each other and say, all right, she said that, but I guarantee you, if we write sausage o'clock,
no way.
She will eventually just say, I have to have some human dignity, and she will just throw down the script and storm out of the room and say, I don't think so. All right, $50. Write it. Sausage o'clock. I put it in. She goes, wake up, it's sausage o'clock. And she just continues just to kill her soul a little bit.
$50 just changed hands.
Every day.
Time for the showbiz. Here's Ralph.
Yeah. Man. Sharknado's coming on tomorrow night.
Can't
Sharknado
wait.
On Sci-Fi.
So this is a tornado.
Well, Kevin, it's about a giant water spout over the Pacific Ocean that sucks up a bunch of sharks, and then it becomes a tornado when it comes onto land and starts dropping sharks on everybody.
Obviously.
Based on a true story. You'll remember last year when it happened?
I don't remember that specifically.
You don't remember when in San Francisco and it was raining sharks?
No.
Well, you should open up a blog.
I do not.
Anyway, it's going to be on tomorrow night. I'm very excited. I believe we have the director.
We do.
Anthony Ferrante coming on the show tomorrow to talk about Sharknado. But I'm more excited because Sci-Fi is dedicating the entire day to shark-themed disaster films.
Damn you, Sharktopus!
Sharktopus will be in the lineup.
Oh,
I have, you know, a lot of people, you know.
Sweet.
It's got a lot of fans out there, the Sharktopus. But also,
not because of you, because of that hot chick on the boat with you.
No, because of Captain Jack.
And the hot chick on the boat with you.
Damn you, Sharktopus. That's right. The line everyone remembers.
The hot chick with
remember,
the bikini.
Hot chick's line.
That's all I remember from her, from that movie.
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus will kick off the day. And then Malibu Shark Attack, Sharktopus, Swamp Shark, Super Shark. Then Sharknado. And then after Sharknado, you can watch Two-Headed Shark and Shark Zone. So all the shark films you can stomach will be on Sci-Fi tomorrow.
It's everyone like Sci-Fi's it version of Shark Week.
It is.
I Man. Like it.
I can't wait for that Sharknado. It's a tornado full of sharks.
I think you're going to have to bring in highlights, Ralph.
Farrah Abraham. She has been kicked out of rehab. The backdoor teen mom was booted out of the Lukens Institute because she reportedly argued with a nurse there.
Excellent!
Tried to take photos of another patient in the rehab during therapy who happened to be the tanning mom, Patricia Krenzel, who's in there trying to dry out as well. Bullied other patients, counselors, and even invited a paparazzo into the facility to take photos of her while she was there. The rehab finally had an ass full of her, like Teen Mom herself had an ass full in the past, and kicked her out. So she was just 2 days short of her 10-day stint. She only had to be in there for 10 days, and she couldn't behave herself for 10 days.
Wow, that's bad.
She
must have driven them crazy.
She was an a-hole for 8 of them,
yeah.
And they finally said enough, and they kicked her out. So we still have to wait and see how she's going to fulfill her obligations to the court. I'm guessing the judge will just take her in his chambers and say, well, fulfill your obligations. Bow, bow, bow. That's what I would do if I was a judge.
I know you would.
Probably
that's why you're not on the bench.
A judge.
That's why you'll never be a judge.
Wouldn't let me on the bench. I would just wear nothing under my robe all day. Bam, chicka, bam, bam.
Remember the story about that judge that was masturbating under his robe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's that'd be you.
That would be me. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Sofia Vergara. Celebrates her 41st birthday today. Jay, why do you say this? I love that accent. So sexy. Jay! Says that a lot on that show. Adrian Grenier, or Grenier, depending whether you're French or not, 37 years old today from Entourage. Jessica Simpson's 33. And Thomas Ian Nicholas from the American Pie movie franchise, 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time to talk to Adam Carolla. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Kevin. What's going on?
How you been?
Couldn't be better, my friend.
You have to take a drink right now while we're talking?
You normally don't ask how I am.
Okay. All right. I take it back.
Fair to you.
You can see Adam do his live podcast at the Irvine Improv tomorrow, July 11th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. That's at the Irvine Improv. Don't miss Adam with Jay Moore at the World Turn, Saturday, August 3rd. And what's this movie I'm hearing about that you're trying to raise money for?
A little something called Road Hard, and we're doing the big press conference at the Acme Theater, which is right next to Amalfi Restaurant, and a little pizza and some mangria afterward. But that's it. That's at 4 o'clock today.
Oh, that's today. Okay. And this is I saw the video with you and Bryan Cranston, and it didn't seem like he was as on board as you had hoped.
Well, he agreed to help me out with the project, and that's all the people really need to know. So,
well, I do have a clip, if you don't mind, before we get to This Week in Rage.
Well, he said, we could bore people with the clip, or I could just basically paraphrase what he said.
Well, you paraphrase first.
I want to help out with the project. I said, I'm going to do this crowd fundraising thing at fundanything.com, and he said, yeah, I'd love to help you out with it.
Fundanything.com, so that's where you go.
Right. And they'd like to be a part of it.
Well, here's what he had to say, and then you can compare what Adam's story is and what Brian's story is.
My agents would take a in the middle of Wilshire Boulevard if they heard that I was going to be in a movie with you. I would rather play the gay pimp in Deuce Bigelow, Pakistani Gigolo. If I had to give my agents a choice between doing an Adam Carolla film or doing a snuff film, they would have to discuss it. If they were remaking Deliverance, I would sign on to the Ned Beatty part before I would do a role in your movie. I would take it in the ass before I would do your movie.
All right, so...
So he's on the fence, obviously. He's thinking about it. He's probably want to discuss it. Probably, first off, what do you get to do without talking to the wife about it first? You know what I mean?
So I see. So that's his way of just saying, let me check?
Let me check. But I was in the room. So the vibe I got from him is, yeah, I want to be a part of this, but let me just go check. You know, like when you're at the car dealership and the guy says, I got a good feeling about this deal. I'm just going to run it through my service manager just to make sure.
Right, but then that guy never goes anywhere. He just steps out of the room, has a soda, and then comes back.
Look, I don't want to say there's a 90% chance he's going to be in the film, 88%. I'm not a mathematician, Kevin. I got a feeling.
If you want to help Adam Carolla make the movie, it's called Road Hard, and you go to fundanything.com. Adam is here for his weekly This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three, working our way up to number one. You know, this scourge, these holiday joggers, we see these guys on Christmas time out jogging, New Year's, the worst guy of all, the worst offender of all, the Thanksgiving Day jogger, these asswipes. I saw a couple of these guys the 4th of July, you know, you got a belly full of ribs and you're holding a beer and this guy goes jogging by 3 in the afternoon trying to shame you. Well, I realize there's no talking these guys out of jogging. That's what they do. They're terminal a-holes, and that's what they do. But I came up with a way to fix this problem.
How? Without talking them out of jogging?
It's super easy. It's a line of holiday jogging apparel that looks like street clothes. So it's like, you know, it's sweatpants, but it looks like corduroy.
Okay.
Or it looks like jeans. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's a sweat jacket, but it looks like a flannel. And, you know, it's running shoes that look like loafers. And all you got to do is every 200 feet, yell out your dog's name.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Just go chugging by and every couple hundred feet, scrappy-doo!
So you're trying to help these guys stay hidden?
I'm saying if I see, I'm holding my beer, I'm holding up a rib, and that guy goes by, instead of the shame, I go, look at that poor son of a bitch, lost his dog.
Lost scrappy-doo. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I got you. All right.
Wait till those fireworks go off. That dog's going to go nuts. Cold, shivering, and alone.
See, this is why we like Adam. He doesn't just ask questions. He gives answers.
Answers. You didn't look. And I'm not saying, you know, on a Tuesday at noon in the middle of the week, go ahead. Jog in your dolphin shorts. I don't care. Wear your mini socks. You have the holiday jogging apparel for just, you know, Thanksgiving, New Year's, 4th of July, the 4 or 5 dates out of the year you
I
put
like
it on.
Be considerate. All right.
That's right.
I
be
like
considerate
it.
Of others who are trying to get fat. all right. This barefoot business is gotten completely out of control. I don't know if it's the fact that everyone's wearing flip-flops or no one's wearing socks. But my last 3 flights, I've had the bare feet come in between the seats, and then I've done the thing where I've looked. You ever do this when you're on a flight where you look ahead and you see the bare feet on the ceiling, like where the person's leaned back and trying to sleep, and they're the feet, like up on, and you're like, dude, those are your bare feet.
Yeah.
Remember when bare feet were gross?
Yeah, I do.
Remember back in the day, in ancient times, where if someone was sitting at the dinner table with bare feet, you'd be like, dude, put your shoes on. We're eating food here. Now you go to the Starbucks or the, you know, smoothie joint, and you see these guys sitting outside with their bare feet up on the table.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm putting my bagel there in 20 minutes, dude. What's up? When did we come so simultaneously?
What's happening right now?
Yelled at me.
Is your
quiet
kid telling
down.
You to shut up?
He's telling me to shut up. Listen. I've had this conversation a million times with this kid, with mommy, with everyone in his house. Be quiet, daddy. Stop talking, daddy. You better hope daddy doesn't stop talking. No, you're green good. Because the day daddy stops talking, it all goes away. Car goes back to the dealership. House goes to the bank. It all disappears. Those Legos you're playing with, son, they become dust when daddy stops talking. You understand me,
boy? He's agreeing with you.
Okay, he's agreeing with
All right. He likes number 2.
All right, bam. No, number 1. Yes. Number 1. The whole barefoot airport thing. And by the way, the reason we're so casual being barefoot on the airplane now is because we all take our shoes off and walk through security.
Yeah,
so
that's
we're already
true.
Barefoot in the airport. Why not be barefoot in the plane? All right. This is a show I'm in love with, and I know you got a lot of Hollywood producer types listening, and we need to get this thing made. Competition reality show. Everyone hates the airport. They're all complaining about security. It's all that thing. You know, whenever you go through security, you see the guy trying to get his belt on while he's trying to pull his shoes on. All in motion, by the way.
Sure.
Trying to get to the gate as fast as he can. This is a This is families going through security, timing it to see how fast they can get put back together, get their belts in the slots, shoes on, and get to the gate.
So they'll be half running and trying to put a shoe on and fall on their face.
Cheering them on. How fast can you? This is Family Feud meets Wipeout. You ready for the name?
Yes.
Terminal Velocity. Wow.
I like it.
It's a whole family. You got to get from the end of security to your gate in the fastest time. Mama's yelling at kids.
I like their
knapsacks packed up. And then the scrutineering begins. Yes, that's a word. Well, you get to the gate, and some guy's like, oh, you think you won? And he comes around the back. You missed a loop. No!
Oh, they do the check to make sure.
You're screaming at the husband, we practice this at home.
They do a hardcore check. I like it.
I'm in.
I don't want you to annoy your kid anymore, though. Adam Carolla, of course, the Adam Carolla podcast. He's got the Adam and Dr. Drew show. He's got the live podcast at Irvine Improv tomorrow. And if you want to help him out with his new movie, Road Hard, go to fundanything.com/Adam Carolla and donate your hard-earned money because he will use it well. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
Justin Bieber.
Still eating.
Stop
still
it. Eating. Here's the thing. You put a mouthful of almonds in your mouth.
Yeah.
You can't eat them very quickly.
Right. Here's the thing. You know we're doing showbiz.
Right. And I started eating these almonds about 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
I figured, well, after 2 minutes, they'll be gone. And you keep chewing and chewing and chewing, and almonds just don't go anywhere.
I'm guessing about 9:45.
So, excuse me while I take a drink.
All right. Entertain yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's better. Justin Bieber is just pissing everybody off.
Yeah.
First of all, that story today on TMZ, that video footage of him making some poor working man's life miserable by peeing in the bucket that the guy uses to clean the restaurant floors with.
Yes. He's a douche.
As he's leaving a nightclub. And now he's got Chicago Blackhawk fans enraged because
they should be mad at the team.
Photo was released today of Bieber hanging out with the Stanley Cup in the Chicago dressing room. Not only because it's Bieber, but because he's touching the cup, first of all. You don't touch the cup, Kevin.
You touch the cup if you have permission from somebody who's won it, Ralph.
Oh, man. Well, I guess they gave him permission, too. Then he's standing on the logo in the middle of the dressing room. You never stand on the logo. Taking pictures of the cup. And then someone else released a picture of, just before the Blackhawks went into the finals, of Bieber wearing the Boston Bruins cap. So he's not even a fan. He's not even a Chicago Blackhawks fan. Probably not a Boston Bruins fan either.
No. He's been stalking the cup, though. He came to a couple of Kings playoff games. He's just been stalking whoever was going to win it so he could get the photo off.
Yeah, well, now it's time to stalk him.
Agreed.
And hit him with a blow dart. Right in the back of the neck. With some tsetse fly venom. So he goes down for the big nap. Douchebag.
Blackhawks should be embarrassed.
Kristen Stewart can't get a break. First, she broke up with her boyfriend, Robert Pattinson. Rob Pattinson. And then, photographers are mocking her. Photo of her in North Hollywood this week, getting into her pickup truck. Now, her pickup truck needed a wash.
Okay.
That's for sure.
So it deserved to be written on?
Well, they wrote on the front hood, in the dust, I heart Rob. She got out there. She was ticked off. Start screaming at the paparazzi, F you.
That's a pretty easy target.
And by the way, she had a parking ticket on her way. Not a good day for Kristen Stewart.
Oh.
Could have been worse, though. She could have been teen mom, backdoor teen mom Farrah Abraham.
Yeah.
Who just got booted out of rehab. She has been kicked out of the Lukens Institute, which is a rehab. And the staff there says she was obnoxious, just arguing with nurses, bullying other patients, invited a photographer into the facility to take photos of her, and she tried to take photos of another patient during therapy in the rehab, who happened to be the tanning mom, Patricia Krenzel.
Can you imagine? They're all sitting around doing therapy?
Yeah, it's well, and this is probably because my dad used to beat me.
Right, sharing their innermost secrets.
She's firing it off with her cell phone.
Just look over here. Make love to my phone.
I would stick that phone where James Dean has been. That's where that phone would end up. So she only had to do a 10-day stint to fulfill her obligation for this DUI charge that she was found guilty of. But she could only make through 8 days before they asked her to leave, so they kicked her out. She's got 2 days to go. I don't know what that means. Hopefully she'll do some jail time. Or she'll be hit by a speeding trash truck. I can't remember.
Either way.
Either way, we win, people. Elizabeth Hasselbeck's leaving The View. Oh, I'm going to miss her so much on that
show. You don't watch that show at all.
That's right. I never watched that show.
Right.
She is leaving The View to join Fox and Friends in September.
Which you also don't watch.
That's true. So I have gained or lost nothing in this transaction.
We don't have a dog in this fight.
But Elizabeth will be much happier, I think, over there at Fox and Friends. Because she used to have to put up with Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar. And
opposing opinions?
All those... was opposing opinions, and now she'll have none of that at Fox because they all towed the same rope over there, which will be nice. And Fred Armisen has left Saturday Night Live. It doesn't mean he's left our hearts or minds. His first solo project is this infomercial for Queens of the Stone Age. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
You can see it online. He is playing a goofy pitch man named Ricky Chisholm. It's like an infomercial, and he talks about how the new album from Queens of the Stone Age, Like Clockwork, is available on an 8-gigabyte USB flash drive. And he talks about how that is the future of music.
Okay.
And it's true. You can get it on the flash drive. He's like, what happens? Oh, we're supposed to get music from a cloud now? What happens if the cloud doesn't work? Am I supposed to call the weatherman and say, oh, I need music, Mr. Weatherman? It's very funny, and Fred Armisen's great. And so find it online. Check it out. You'll enjoy it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sofia Vergara is 41 years old today. Someone sent me a photo of her in a bikini from just weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Must make women everywhere furious.
Yes. Yeah, she doesn't do a lot for
she
that
doesn't
either.
Work that hard at all. And that's pretty much the way she came out fully formed.
Yeah.
Those are her boobs. Those are her hips, the face, the hair, everything. She didn't like have surgery or stuff. It's just boom. It's just there.
Yeah, she's just that person.
It's nuts. And she stays being that person. It's not like she looked at that at 20 and then she looked crappy at 40. She stays the same, basically.
She won the DNA lottery.
Nuts. Adrian Grenier of Entourage is 37 years old. Jessica Simpson's 33. And Thomas Ian Nicholas from the American Pie films is 33 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We have Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Coming into the studio.
That's right.
We have comedian Kumail Nanjiani.
You say so?
I think that's pretty close.
All right.
Kumail Nanjiani.
I have no reason to doubt you.
We have a brand new...
Other than you being you.
We have a brand new...
I don't have any information to the other.
Brand new internet roundup tomorrow morning, and the director of Sharknado, Anthony Ferrante. Very excited about that.
It's a tornado of sharks.
Right, I hear you.
It sucks sharks out of the water, now moves in land, and then the sharks start raining down on us.
So tomorrow morning we talk to the director, and then the movie is tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
You get to watch that. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.